Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Like I said, live on the air yesterday, too. I'm not mad, but... Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us today. It, of course, is the third day of May 2011, and we are going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Joining us yet again is General Hamid Ghul, the former head of Pakistani intelligence, will be joining us coming up in about 35 minutes from now. We also have James Corbett of the Corbett Report joining us to give us his analysis of what's happening with the whole bin Laden situation. And Owen J.J. Stone, a technology commentator, is not buying the official narrative, so we're going to be talking with him as well today. Now, something interesting has happened in the last 48 hours since the Sunday evening pronouncement of the president. All over the world, people are not buying the official story. And Sunday night and Monday morning, you were laughed at by the mainstream dinosaur, dying, discredited, lying media. If you questioned it, and they acted like it was very kooky. And the Washington Post called me and said, well, this is like the Elvis death. People believing he's still alive. And I said, I'm not talking about Elvis, and I'm not talking about him still being alive. I said, this is a government that's been caught lying over and over and over and over and over again and manufacturing evidence and engaging in duplicitous activities so people would be crazy to out of hand believe this. And then they dump the body at sea, they claim, and they're going to supposedly show video of that. I guess they've got a wax figurine from Madame Couture's or whatever her name is, a wax museum, and they're going to throw it in the water. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And then they put out the fake photo in the first 12, 14 hours and say it's real. Then they retract it. Now they've got a new photo coming out. They also admit now that he didn't use his wife as a human shield in the official narrative, that he didn't fight back. And they're telling on themselves for lying so that you'll believe the general story. That's a psychological warfare trick. The whole thing's a lie, guaranteed. The evidence, the stink, the cut of the garment. As I said yesterday, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is out today saying this reeks of a hoax. Cindy Sheehan is saying the same thing. Many government people are saying they don't buy this. And we're really seeing the geopolitical reasons for this shaping up. What they want to do domestically in the West with, oh, no, the TSA is validated and sticking their hands down your pants. There's going to be more of this now, not less. And, oh, if we go to Central Asia, oh, my, the Pakistanis obviously knew bin Laden was there. The drone attacks need to start, and the aid needs to be cut, and we might have to have war with these people. Funny, in the last month, we've had all these guests on, experts, and it's come out in the news that the Saudis have run to Pakistan for their nuclear umbrella. They know they're being double-crossed by the West. The Saudis have cut oil production as a response to the fact that it's now on record that many of the jihadists being stirred up and funded are being funded out of the U.S. State Department and out of 10 Downing Street. That's not even debated now. And the Arabs understand they're being double-crossed, the Arab dictators and oligarchies that have worked with them. And so as soon as Pakistan starts trying to bust the gates and get out of San Quentin, magically all this happens. So we're going to go over all of it today and the intensifying evidence that it's fraud. But something interesting has happened now. More and more people aren't buying it. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Tuesday, the third day of May 2011. We're going to be breaking down all of the different developments surrounding the May Day reported killing of the chief boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, and the fact that all over the global media and domestic media, a lot of people are questioning the dumping at sea, the fake photo they first released, and then later had to admit was fake when alternative media pointed out it was a Photoshop the media put out almost 3 years ago. We're going to be going over all of it today, but also what we're not looking at while we're busy obsessed on President Obama kicking off his reelection campaign with this latest fairy tale. What's happening at the U.S. Treasury? Big developments there. What's happening to the dollar? The stock market plunging today. The fact that the neocon media is saying, see, we're going to have $5, $6, $7 a gallon gas. We need to focus on security. And if there's a terror attack, the American people won't be as worried about what's happening to the economy. And if you study this, the global architects that have worked for 90-plus years since 1913 to position the United States into total bankruptcy and receivership to kill our free market system, they really stand to gain from staged terror attacks. And on Sunday night and Monday morning, so many people were saying, oh my gosh, it's great. I can carry my shampoo with me on a trip. I don't have to go buy shampoo everywhere I fly, everywhere I go. I don't have to have the TSA stick their hands down my pants. I don't have to have them download what's on my laptop. I don't have to answer all their questions. And the media said, no. You don't get it. We're going to have more TSA checkpoints on highways, at bus terminals, at train stations. We're going to be spying on you more. Here are the new four leaders of Al-Qaeda, Alaki, Gadan, and the two others. Of the four they're putting on the news, three born in America, all three of them known to be trained at U.S. military bases, hanging out at the Pentagon, protected, running the real attacks in the U.S. with mentally ill Muslim extremist patsies. We have the eyewitnesses of the U.S. government getting the underwear bomber on the plane for 2 years, protecting Major Hassan, knowing the attack was coming, Alaki commanding him. Congress wants the documents. CIA says no. How does CIA say no to Congress and the Homeland Security Committee? Things are upside down. That's the government. That's the Congress with the National Security Act that created them. This is the tail wagging the dog. It's like the UN launching the new Libyan war and Obama not even consulting Congress. It's about training you to accept this. And so it's a fact that the hijackers, in quotes, were trained at U.S. military bases, that U.S. embassies in Saudi Arabia were ordered to give them visas into the U.S. even though they came up on the terror watch list. I've interviewed the head of the visa section from Jeddah, Mr. Springman, going back 9 years ago now. People say, well, why are you just coming out and saying this is a lie? Why are you coming out and saying that this is a PR stunt? Well, just look at the way it's all crafted and scripted. Just look at it. Look at how it was rolled out. Look at how it's being pushed. Look at the agenda they're piling onto it. But it's not just that. How many times have we been lied to? How many terror attacks have turned out to be fake? How many Pentagon and Joint Chiefs of Staff documents do we have to get where they staged the Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam? How many times? How many Operation Northwoods do we have to see? How many WikiLeaks releases of Army training manuals for black op Army captains? Not all Army captains, specialized black op Army captains on how to stage a false flag. They teach these Navy SEALs and Delta Force and special ops people how to do dirty tricks, how to stage events. Delta Force, even above the SEALs, where they take the best from the different military disciplines and put them into these fused groups, Delta Force, when they graduate, and this has been declassified, and they had to cancel this part of the test, because now it's known by people that are trying to get into the Delta Force. At the end of the month-long rigors and the psychological warfare they have to go under to make sure they can't be cracked easily, then they're given Machiavelli's The Prince, and they have 12 hours to read it and then write an essay. And if they say the end justifies the means, and you've got to be evil to protect good, and torture is good, and lying is good, because at the end of the day, we're the good guys. That's the devil's trick, folks. Read the Bible. That's pure, whether you believe the Bible or not, the point is that's always culturally been seen as the main system of deception. That, oh, just be evil for good's sake. And if they write the essay and say that they will be evil for good's sake, that they will lie for good's sake, that they will torture for good's sake, that they will dissemble, that they will stage terror attacks, then they go, welcome to the Delta Force Squadron. Now, if they answer it wrong, they say, we're going to have you in logistics. We're going to send you to Fort Bragg, and you're gonna basically push pencils all day. See, this is the real world. And when you read the writings of these retired CIA people like Kermit Roosevelt, who staged Operation Ajax with staged terror attacks to overthrow the Iranian government in 53, that's declassified. When I've been at events and had CIA guys come over and get in my face and then later, pass messages through people about, you don't live in the real world. You don't know how the world really works. You don't understand what we have to do. We have to be more evil than the other side. We have to take every system they might use and make it our own, or somebody else bad will take control of it. We have to bring the drugs in, or somebody else will, and then they'll get the money and the power, and then that evil group will overtake us. It's circular logic. Oh, is that why you push worldwide to keep drugs illegal? No, if you didn't want Al-Qaeda, Taliban, having the opium and making the money off of it, you would decriminalize it so that the price would plummet and then there'd be no business in it. But instead, you go in and boost production and control it, and then think we're so dumb now, because this stuff can't be hidden anymore, that they come out in the BBC. I told you a year before I saw Geraldo Rivera with the Army, Marine Corps colonel, going, yeah, we help grow it. We give them the opium. We give them the fertilizer, and we help them protect it. I heard BBC with the same narrative about, well, if we don't grow it and help ship it out, Al-Qaeda and Taliban will get the money. And I almost ran off the road, not because I didn't know that, but because they were admitting it. And then I couldn't ever find it on the BBC website, the report. Well, then we did find, because listeners called, the YouTube a year later of Geraldo Rivera going, yeah, America, we grow the opium. You see, because they can't hide it. How many CIA aircraft crashing with cocaine on board? One of the biggest heads of the drug cartels on trial in Chicago. It comes out in federal court last week. The documents that he said, I work for the U.S. government. He's trying to call witnesses. He's saying, I work for you. How dare you do this to me? How dare you double cross me? That's like Hal Turner released the documents in federal court when he was threatening judges and people, and state judges went ahead and prosecuted him, and the feds to control the case went ahead and charged him as well and took it away from state court. And in there, he released the documents, and the judge released it, and it was national security memorandums. He was the highest level national intelligence FBI asset. Well, you could tell he was an FBI asset. He was there to talk about violence every night and get away with it and attack yours truly every day and try to hype up the army of white supremacists that work for the feds and don't even know it, most of them. And I've seen this over and over again. I told you 10 years ago he was. Folks, I know a globalist agent when I see it. I live this stuff, okay? I experience it. I know of what I speak. And so you have all these declassified instances of where our government, supposed government, has staged events, staged massacres, blamed it on people, going back to Vietnam. The Quiet American is a fictional account, book, and film, but it's based on real events that happened. You got the CIA in there, in the late 50s, getting ready for the main war, trying to back up the French, and they're staging terror attacks in markets, blowing kids up to blame it on the communists. I mean, if you want to see it in a fictional way, that tends to wake people up better than reality because they can't deal with reality. Go watch that movie, The Quiet American. and then understand what we're dealing with and stop being naive. The globalists are bringing America down. They're killing the dollar by design to consolidate and to take a wealthy, uppity, powerful, armed population and make us servile, broke slaves. It's on. The world government's openly being announced. It's been built behind the scenes, but now they've unveiled it as the solution. Everything is happening right now geopolitically. And they come out with a, we dumped him in the ocean, and here's a photo. Oh, you notice that's fake? Okay, we'll give you another photo. Well, you can go rent Forrest Gump and see Forrest Gump shaking hands 15 years ago, and you can't tell it's a fake. With President Kennedy. Folks, it's not real. Forrest Gump's not real. He didn't shake hands with Kennedy. None of it is real. When you see a talking chihuahua on Taco Bell commercials, folks, that's not real. I mean, if you go see the talking rabbit in Hop that looks completely real, you can't tell it's fake. That rabbit is not real, folks. I'm sorry. You can watch Santa Claus computer morph movies that are out, and it looks like a real person. It's not real. The Grinch That Stole Christmas with the actor, Carrie. It's not real. And you're going, yes, we know it's not real. The point is, they think you're stupid with this, and the timing and the lies and all of it, we know this is fake. I mean, it's like, if you get a zit on your face and you go, "That's a zit on my face," it's there. It's proof. But see, they won't give you proof. They won't give you the body. It's in the ocean. That's the end of it. Don't debate it. Don't discuss it. And torture, by the way. Got back a little late here in the broadcast chair because I just got the call back from Dr. Steve Pachinik, the number two guy under Henry Kissinger at the State Department, who worked with bin Laden, who knows Osama bin Laden. And he said, "Alex, you're doing a very good job. I'm listening to the show right now." Of course, we had him on in 2002 in April, and he broke down that the intel that bin Laden was dead and was frozen on ice to be rolled out later. Now, I was then told by two other White House sources the exact same thing, and people couldn't believe it, even though we had Pachinik on record, and then suddenly Madeleine Albright, Walter Cronkite, Teresa Hines Carey, and scores of other top Democrats came out and said, "Bush, we know you got him frozen. Don't stage his death and roll him out." So they pulled it off the table and waited with that ace card. And you notice Obama's got the same Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. It's all the same crew. They act like they're fighting with each other. It's staged at that level. And so they've allowed Obama to play this card because geopolitically, Pakistan has teamed up with Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia realizes that they're being double-crossed right now and that most of these Arab Spring activities have been stirred up by the West to try to destabilize the region, so they have a pretext to expand the wars. And now it's been admitted, Libya, Egypt, all staged by the West. It doesn't mean there aren't folks that are angry at these dictators that are also going along with it. The point is the match was struck, the fire was lit by the globalist, and that's now incontrovertible, absolute proof. So I just talked to Dr. Pachinik, who has not been on this show since April 2002. He got a lot of heat for it and even called me at the time and said, "Is there a way to pull that transcript and that audio down? I am getting excoriated at the CFR right now. I'm getting a lot of heat." And I said, "Sorry, sir, it's basically the horse left the barn a long time ago, but the point is now he's ready to come back on because he has been vindicated." Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, came out and said, "Bin Laden has been dead. He was killed." And she even said, "Who killed him?" And that was the intel I was given. He was dying of kidney failure. He put out those letters saying, "This is not me," in these tapes. Remember this in the news? He said, "I did not do this." And boom, special forces went in. This is the intel from folks at the White House. They killed him, and froze his hind end. And he was actually killed in the area of Pakistan. He did actually live in that area. In fact, Watson's digging up the old articles from 3 months before, and I remember him, so Watson's digging him up. He remembers him as well, and he's my literal bloodhound. If I remember a news article but can't remember the 10-year-old headline, he is like a battle-tested bloodhound, and he will ferret it out. We've got that report coming up where it was in the news that British journalists went to see him, and there was British special forces guarding him. Ooh, when we dig this out, you guys are in trouble. And so they had him dead. The word is within a month after 9/11. And all that stuff about he's in Tora Bora and the Delta Force had him in the sights, but they wouldn't let him kill him. They were telling Delta Force, they were telling Army, they were telling the SEALs that. They were telling him that's him, but then, oh, you can't get him, to even create the narrative that it was lawyers, you know, who wanted to be politically correct or something. And that, oh, they wanted to keep the myth of bin Laden going. That part's actually true. See, they put out propaganda that part of it's true. But, I mean, Steve Pachinik, this was the right-hand guy. Under Henry Kissinger, he's been on record that he worked with bin Laden when it was the Mujahideen. He knows him. And Pachinik is going to be on with us. Again, he called me back right during the break. I had 1 minute left. Jaron, when I actually hung up on him before I give it back to you, did you get a hold of Pachinik? He is on at one. That is super news. Okay, so he is on at 1 o'clock today. This is big. Now I've got General Hamid Ghul on, and then I've got all these other guests. I've kind of had Jaron overbook the show under my orders because I've got Ghul on for 30 minutes, then I got Corbett, then I've got JJ Stone, and I've literally got all of this news, and I've got incredible financial news I've got to go over. The first fake photo. They've got more fake stuff coming out. I've got the Washington Post, L.A. Times, New York Magazine. I saw over 30,000 articles with the name InfoWars or InfoWars.com in it. I didn't look at them myself. Google said 30-plus thousand. I could only look at a few dozen. And some of these are actually surprisingly fair. I thought the Washington Post person was being a little sarcastic with me. But it's overall pretty fair. And there's a lot of other articles, the news that's actually pointing out that all these officials did say he was dead and that it was being covered up and that he was going to be rolled out later. So Breitbart's going with the fact that it may be a cover-up. The Tea Party Nation is. I mean, folks don't buy anything the government says now, and that's healthy.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later.
And we're cutting the lies down. Well, we see the 2012 kickoff of Obama's campaign. And they claim they dumped the body of bin Laden in the ocean. They released a fake photo Sunday night. Yesterday morning, had to admit it was a fake photo. Now, they've got new fake photos. We'll play just a few seconds of this. They've released, cartoons showing bin Laden shooting his AK-47 and the Navy SEALs taking him out. We'll roll some of that in the background right now for folks. This is so cartoonish. And what concerns me more than anything is that our expert guests have broken down here on air. Webster Tarpley, investigative journalist Wayne Madsen, others, and we've also seen this in the foreign news, that Pakistan was starting to make deals with Saudi Arabia, that Saudi Arabia knows it's being double-crossed by the West, and that there was going to be big movement in Pakistan. Pakistan said, get your drones out of the country. And then magically, this happens. There's this raid, and now they're saying that Pakistan knew he was there for 6 years, as if Western intelligence wouldn't know that either, and they won't produce the body. This is a serious frame-up, it looks like, of Pakistan moving towards serious confrontations. Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, really leading the attack on the Soviets in the 1980s, called a hero by our media at the time. He's been called now by some of our media the real leader of Al-Qaeda, which he says is asinine. General Gould, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Alex.
I know you have a lot of other media to attend to. We've only got about 25 minutes with you. Sir, you've got the floor. Break down, now that we have some more time to look at this propaganda move, where you stand and what you believe is happening geopolitically.
Well, I think they are targeting Pakistan, and I think Patriot, as it was said by New York Times, is now gearing up, he's limbering up for launching his third offensive against Pakistan. So I think that is where Pakistan is being cornered now. A case is being built against Pakistan, and they are saying that ISI was harboring this great terrorist. But at the same time, if you look at it professionally, all the time the CIA, the political leadership of America, and even all the European countries and their intelligence services were actually putting Pakistani intelligence on the wrong posse by saying that the high-value targets were hiding in North Waziristan in that terrain which adjoins with Afghanistan. So they were pounding Pakistani civilians and poor, hapless villages there with their drone attacks, with the hellfires and with their Reaper missiles. So they have caused something like 2,500 casualties when the man that they were hunting was actually hiding in one of the urban centers of Pakistan. Now, this is remarkable. I mean, it's an intelligence. Okay, we accept their version, and we say that they are not framing up, and this is not something, although that is a very popular theory here in Pakistan. But if we were to believe every word of what they are saying, then they are more responsible for misguiding Pakistani intelligence, other intelligence agencies, because the CIA and FBI and MI6 had been given free hand in Pakistan to hunt down the terrorists, or what they had named. And we had caught so many of them, from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to Faraj al-Libi and all the others from the urban centers of Pakistan. So why were they not also responsible for this failure? Agreed that there have been intelligence failure in this intelligence craft. Failures are not something which is outlandish. Sometimes they do happen. But ISI, instead of being lauded for its good work, I think ISI has been scapegoated by the CIA and all the other bigwigs there in America. And they want to now build a case against Pakistan. Although Pakistan really is suffering so much because our sovereignty has been trampled over, our security has been breached. These helicopters, they had spotted the blind areas in our radar coverage, and they came in as if they were the enemies of Pakistan. Now, it brings to light that the relationship with Pakistan, America's relationship, was always one of animosity, not of friendship. And while we were being told that we are friends of America and we are doing everything possible for them, we lost something like 35,000 lives in this process, and we suffered a loss of $68 billion in economic terms only, and everything else that went wrong with Pakistan, the revenge war and so on and so forth. Pakistan has suffered enormously, but now they tell us that you are responsible for everything. Isn't it amazing? And if, let's say, Osama is the one that they killed yesterday, why did they have to kill him? He was a sick man. He could have been hauled up in the helicopter and taken away. And I imagine they haven't shown the pictures. They used to show the pictures of Saddam Hussein, and they used to show his teeth also inside of his mouth, and they used to rejoice over it. And now when it comes to Osama, they say that dump him in the sea as soon as possible. I think there is a lot that goes unsaid, and I think it has to be it's an untold story which has to come out one day, and I think a probe must be held. If the American administration is reluctant to hold that probe themselves, let the international community demand from them that we ignored the 9/11 thing, because you said that this had happened to us and we didn't ask for the evidence, but now it's about time that we ask for the evidence.
General Gould, you brought up a point that is absolutely central, obviously, here. the saber-rattling began against Pakistan recently when Pakistan said enough of the drones. I've interviewed Special Forces troops on air. We've had Colonel Schaefer on repeatedly. We've had calls from listeners. It's been admitted in the news that U.S. troops, CIA, Special Forces, given unfettered access everywhere in Pakistan for now many, many years. And the fact that they're blaming Pakistan and saying, you knew he was there for 6 years. You just threw the gauntlet right back down and said, you were all over this country. You've been directing the Pakistani army into regions to back you up, going into tribal areas, which, of course, as you have pointed out, does stir up the population. And then they're called terrorists. And now they have us believe in the heart of your West Point, in the heart of much of your intelligence system, he was there. So if he was there, basically what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, 100% 6 years, the U.S., British, Israelis, they knew as well.
Yes, indeed, because I think they have to share the responsibility. They can't shrug it off because they were the superior partner in this war against terrorism. And they had more resources, far, far, far more resources than ISI ever possessed. So you were responsible, equally responsible. And besides, you were all the time focusing the ISI, directing them towards the Northwest Frontier Province. Why were you doing this? Now, this is an... They always get away. They never are answerable. They were never answerable to 9/11 because no heads were rolled at that time, none from the air traffic control, none from the FBI, none from the CIA, and none from the Air Force, which took 112 minutes to come into action. Can you imagine? They killed Osama bin Laden, if at all that was Osama bin Laden. I don't believe. There are a lot of theories which are going on here. But suppose they killed Osama bin Laden. Why did they have to kill him? So that if he's taken alive... If they had asked the ISI, pointed out to the ISI, which they knew, then ISI would capture him alive. And then he would be put on trial and he will spill the beans that 9/11 was not done by him. And this was the fear because of which they didn't inform the ISI and they went for this hunt themselves independently.
Yes, sir. I saw on press TV last night the Iranian government is saying they have intel that Al-Qaeda, back from when Al-Qaeda was the good guys in the 80s, was going to leak the fact that U.S. intelligence was basically puppeteering terrorists to then blame it on Mujahideen. And it came out last week in Sky Television that the number one Al-Qaeda operative inside Pakistan carrying out attacks on the Pakistani military, and this is confirmed, was MI6. It's also been confirmed, even Loftus, former head of counterterrorism with the FBI, Mr. Loftus, John Loftus, he came out on Fox and said that a SWAT ran the 7/7 bombings in London. He is MI6 and has an MI6 security clearance to travel wherever he wishes while he's on the news as the head terrorist. Anwar al-Awlaki, trained in the U.S., born in the U.S., Fox News reports, does dine secretly at the Pentagon and get orders. He then runs the Patsy attacks. As the former head of Pakistani intelligence, someone with connections, I know you don't like to speculate, but looking at the evidence we have, bottom line, there is this group they call Al-Qaeda that are really double, triple agents carrying out events to then be framed on Iraq, on Libya, on Pakistan, on Iran, a cookie cutter, whoever they want to attack. Is that a correct assessment in my analysis, or can you add to that, General Gould?
Absolutely, Alex. I think you are absolutely on the dot. This is what they are doing. They are out to conquer the world at the cost of the American people, their comfort, their lives, their blood, at the cost of their hard-earned dollars. They have this group is devastating. I mean, they are harboring such ambitions which are anti-humanity, which are anti, above all, the American people. And if you give them free hand, now they are trying to go for Pakistan, and this will be disaster because a desperate Pakistan would be a terrible thing for them to handle. I don't know why they are building up case against Pakistan. Raymond Davis, in that case, the Russian intelligence gave out the information. Pakistan was unfortunately not able to do so because of the reason, because Americans come down hard upon them. but he was carrying some ounces of enriched uranium, and he was to go and carry out some kind of action somewhere else and then blame it on Pakistan that Pakistan's nuclear assets are leaky and therefore they have to be taken out. They have to be plucked out. And this is my fear, is that they have spotted the areas from where they can infiltrate and they can come and pick up our nuclear assets or do whatever they want, because they have such liberty of movement here, unfortunately, because of Pervez Musharraf, who was a dictator, and they supported him to the hilt, and he framed such policies which are being now followed by the present regime, which called itself democratic, but it is not democratic because it is the product of the NRO, the National Reconciliation Order, which was actually stage managed by Condoleezza Rice, and it was signed between David Miliband of the UK and Richard Boucher from the American side, and of course President Zardari from this side, and Benazir at that time. But Benazir became a little violent and she started reacting, so she had to be removed by them. If you remember, John Negroponte came here and he wanted to talk to her that she was becoming rebellious, and she refused to meet him, and then thereafter she was no more. I think this is a very dirty game which is being played by this group.
Incredible information, sir. I'd like to go back to the American recently arrested by Pakistani intelligence. Thank God you stopped him. It's now been confirmed he was trying to get uranium to some of their cutout Al-Qaeda patsies to claim that your nuclear weapons program is leaking. Clearly, they now are moving to go into Pakistan. Will they try coups to bring in a soft coup? Or, according to my military sources, they are preparing commando-style attacks, bombardments, going in, getting the nukes, and then starting a larger attack and then having India attack. But the word is China's not going to put up with this. I mean, we're talking about World War III. General, please give us the possible scenarios and the time frame on this.
Well, I think it was McChrystal's idea, and he, in his briefing to the president, he had said that all he needs is a couple of helicopters and some commandos and an abseiling rope, and then he can go and pluck out anything that you have. And I mean, he said, I'll require a backing of three helicopters, and they can take out Pakistan's all the nuclear triggers. But then they thought the better of it, because Pakistan's nuclear assets are dispersed. And if you touch Pakistan's nuclear assets, a lot of countries in the region who are very dear to America may be in trouble. Besides that, I think right behind our back, China, who is a very reliable friend, Pakistan will be left with no option but to lean upon China. And that could, as you are very rightly pointing out, that could start a third world war. It is very dangerous. I don't know why are they trying to play with fire? Because it will ignite an inferno which will consume the entire region.
They're completely power mad, sir, and they've been setting up a secret police grid, a demonization grid of real American patriots that just want to be a good country with a Bill of Rights and Constitution, who don't want to be an empire. But we have this wicked group that has seized us, and it just gives me chills for my family and my future that the RAND Corporation and others have said they want to start a third world war to try to establish this world government. You notice this is all happening as the dollar begins to die. They actually plan to kill the dollar in this process, betray America after we're the bad guy attacking you and others. And then Europe comes out with its new global currency. But that's more academic. In the few minutes we've got left with you, General, getting back to your intel connections in government, I know you don't like to speculate, but we know this official story. Now they admit he didn't fire back, that he didn't use the wife as a shield. They've already put out a fake photo a day and a half ago. They say more fake photos coming. And we know their history of faking documents and photos. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. Much of our media is turning against the president, saying people are not buying this. What best do you know, because now the Pakistani military has been able to go in, but it's all been scooped out, what was there? What is the intel? What does Pakistani ISI, what does the Pakistani army think really went on in that compound? I mean, obviously, it's the frame-up of Pakistan, but do you have any intel on how this theater was executed?
Yeah, I think much of it, what they have said, the helicopter sneaking in and this, that, the other, that is true. Because they did come, and there are eyewitnesses who have reported this. And I was just watching on the TV channel. A lot of people in the neighborhood were giving the stories. But whether Osama bin Laden was there or not, it is not clear. And they have hidden this fact. And the ISI is embarrassed, and Pakistani nation is up in arm against the ISI and the army. That, look, this is what you have done to us. You have allowed invaders to come in and do things on their own. And you have allowed the coverage gaps. Why? Because we are investing so much money in you, and this is what you have done to us. So I think very soon there is going to be a policy shift as far as Pakistan is concerned, because pressure is mounting on the regime, on the government, and they will have to simply say, if you were to ask me, that you have done now your job. If you think that this was the target that you were looking for, and you ravaged the whole world because of this, now you've got him. So please finish us, leave us alone, and Yankee, please go home. You will be also at rest. Your boys and girls are being killed unnecessarily. You are squandering your dollars. $135 billion a year, for heaven's sake. Taxpayers' money being squandered in Afghanistan on a war which has already been lost.
General, we've only got a few minutes left with you, and we appreciate your time. General Hamid Ghul joins us, former head of Pakistani intelligence. Unfortunately, I want to have to relay to you and the rest of the world that I'm monitoring liberal, conservative, mainline radio and TV, and I want to give you the bad news that they are in just a matter of hours. First, it was cut the couple billion you're given that, as you point out, you spend way, you know, many times more trying to carry out the globalist dictates there in the region. So our media is acting like you're our welfare recipients, and that the money is a blessing instead of a curse given to you by these devilish globalists. But now the drum is beginning that you need to be struck, that you are Al-Qaeda, that you run bin Laden, and that you love the destabilization of all these people brought in, and they are. I want to confirm. You need to know they are trying to get the American people ready to attack you. What would you like to say to the American people about the propaganda they're hearing?
Yes, this is total propaganda. This is fixing Pakistan, who has been a long time your friend. You are the sole superpower today because of Pakistan and because of the blood of the Afghan people, whom you have, with impunity and with great callousness, you have destroyed them. Please don't do that. People of America are very good. They are very innocent. I think gullibility is acceptable to an extent, but please do not buy all the theories of these ambitious generals who are political generals. They are not professional generals. I can assure you, I'm a professional man. I've spent 36 years in the army, and since then also I've been studying and reading, and I've been thinking about things. I can assure you, your generals are wrong, and they have got Obama beleaguered, or he has fallen into their trap, and this is is going to be a disaster for everybody.
General, in closing, the average American from New York, when they come to Texas, they think that we don't even really have houses, and that we live outdoors and ride horses when we're heavily industrialized like, you know, any other Western area. Also, many Americans believe that Pakistan is in the Middle East. They call you Arabs. They don't understand that it's a completely different system and culture, and they don't understand that in the war with the Indians, several wars, that Pakistan fighting 5-1 has basically defeated them. And I don't think the average American kind of thinks it's, oh, some more pushover Arabs. I'm not saying the Arabs are weak. They're just not well coordinated. I don't think they understand that trying to go into Pakistan will make Vietnam and Korea look like a cakewalk. Can you speak to that?
Yes, exactly like that. And I tell you, we'll stand and fight. I can assure you this. And this is a very large nation. It's 180 million people. We are nuclear, and we are fifth nuclear power, which has been described by none other but the American media. And we are ideological. We are self-sufficient in food, and we have China at our back, and we have the Muslim world sentiment supporting us. I can assure you it's going to be a very difficult proposition. Let's not even think of it. Please people of America, stop these guys. They're cheating you, they are deceiving you, and they have personal ambitions which they want to satisfy. They are bloodthirsty people. They have vile ideas, and these must be checked by people of America.
Final point, General Gul, we'll let you go. We appreciate the time. General Hamid Gul joins us from Pakistan. What is the general sentiment of the population there? Are they buying this latest hoax? And are you concerned, because they're hyping this here now, about a new 9/11, this time to be blamed on Pakistan? Because that's in the works. From the propaganda, you can see the preparation.
Yes, people of Pakistan are very aware of it, and that's why I think Pakistan government is going to be under tremendous pressure, and you will have a revolution unless it is rectified in time in Pakistan, and a revolution in Pakistan will absolutely turn the world around, I can assure you this.
All right. Thank you so much, General Hamid Gul, for checking in with us with this information. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right, late at night over there, but he did join us. That guy's a very serious person. That is the former head of the Mujahideen and the guy that led the war against the Russians. That's him. That's the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, here on this broadcast. And I would disagree with him on any point if I disagreed. I have studied this in depth. I have had the foremost scholars on this show. I have read all three books by Brzezina Brzezinski about it, and Brzezinski admits it all. And I'm getting chills right now. Folks, you look at those college students that showed up when the government put that Twitter out to create that false flash mob out there. Yay, yay, Osama's dead. And the globalists do that as a gauge that they bought it. I've seen videos of them speaking. Those college students could hardly talk. White, black, Hispanic, they were fluoride head, TV head, soft, intellectually dead people. And the globalists are planning massive terror attacks. They're hyping nuke attacks here. I'm telling you, that's in the cards. And they're going to take those idiot kids and they're going to clap them in uniforms. And they're going to try to draft the strong rural people of the South and other areas of the country and march us off in World War III. Against the Pakistanis, backed up by the Chi-Coms. This is not good. Okay, I'm getting chills right now. I'm getting bad chills. And let me tell you, I go back to Saturday here at the office working, and I was literally about to shake, and they're like, what's wrong? And I go, I am having hardcore dread. I can intellectually see all of this, but also I can feel it, ladies and gentlemen. I can feel it. I called my wife Saturday. I worked up here till late at night. I said, honey, I am physically shaken right now. Now, there's a chance to avert this, but we are at the edge of the cliff. My spirit, my gut, my intellectual analysis, we are at the edge. Is there a cliff near you? Be safe, but if you want to go experience it, it's called common sense. It's called sixth sense. It's called your gut, your instincts. You know, go to the edge. Look over. That feeling, you should all have it right now. You don't need to stand at the edge of a cliff. Every minute I'm awake, I've got it now. Never before have I felt this. I told you a few weeks ago I was starting to feel it. I only felt a small tremor like this before 9/11, and I was able to calculate off enemy propaganda they would attack the World Trade Center and blame it on their former asset, Osama bin Laden.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Fighting as hard as we can to deprogram the public. Not with our new information, but by simply getting people to question. And that's happening. But the globalists are still masters at launching the hoax. And we have undoubtedly seen one of the greatest hoaxes in modern history. I am going to do a hour of overdrive today because I want to be able to take your phone calls. Many stations do carry our fourth hour. For many years, I did a fourth hour, but now I'm developing this new TV show that's very close to launching. And I need that time to get preparation for it every day and do the TV show. our own private model that it's taken us 3 years to get to this point. That's what Glenn Beck's now doing, going with his own TV system. But we're doing it from the grassroots. But a lot of days I do the fourth hour, and I'm pulling the trigger on that right now so that we can take your phone calls. It will be nothing but phone calls in the fourth hour today, and I will attempt to actually just take one call after the other. Also, later in the broadcast, I want to get into the unbelievable financial developments. I'm going to mention some of those in a moment. We've got James Corbett, a Corbett Report, coming on from Japan because I want to get his take as a teacher, a scholar, a TV researcher who studies media and propaganda. I want to get his take on this. Then we have Owen J.J. Stone, computer expert and popular technology commentator. He contacted us and wanted to come on. He says he's not buying it. We've got incredible statements by Cindy Sheehan dealing with the propaganda, some of her quotes that I want to go over. I want to get her on the show, too, in the next few days. I had promised my children that I was going to take them fishing Thursday and Friday, and every time I try to take a vacation, everybody's noticed this happens, but I'm going to have Watson and Aaron Dykes sitting in on Thursday and Friday. We're going to have Watson and Watson. We're going to have both Watson brothers. Steve Watson has a degree in political science, great writer. Of course, Paul, the head honcho over there, just a great political mind, why I hired him 9 years ago, watching him write for years on his own website, propagandamatrix.com. They're going to be filling in, and I think they're going to do an excellent job. They'll also take a lot of your calls. So people that like to call in and folks that like to hear callers, that's going to be a great bounty for you Thursday and Friday, and then I'll be back Sunday. But I've got to, even though World War III is hurtling towards us, in a way, I was thinking about canceling, and if stuff continues to blow up or they attack Pakistan, I think it'll take a few weeks of hyping at first or even months. Or they could stage a terror attack anytime. All these pieces, the things I see them getting ready for, this signifies big moves. And you notice the financial stuff's going on in the background. How many years did we say when they get ready to finally hammer the dollar? And when it starts plunging, get ready for war. And I read Rand Corporation documents on air and had political scientists. I had Gerald Celente on 2 weeks ago. That's a good point. Let's get Gerald Celente and Paul Craig Roberts to pop in as mini guests when Watson is here on Thursday and Friday, and Aaron. I think that's the answer. Aaron could interview him, too. Like, let's just get Celente on for an hour with Aaron when he sits in, because Watson will do the first half, Aaron the second half. We'll get Celente, we'll get Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on, because you heard them in the last 2 weeks before all this started saying, get ready for war, get ready for some pretext, get ready for something. And this is a false flag. To say Pakistan's involved with al-Qaeda, which of course they are, so's our government. You heard Gould earlier, he goes, your government's commanding our forces. So again, it's true, but to a point, I mean, Pakistan has to deal with these people. And obviously the CIA knew bin Laden was there, but that's even a lie. They just had a compound, they did a staged event, probably had the frozen body in there, now they're admitting he didn't resist. Going off how the Russians have done it and how the CIA's been caught, the British would do these things with fake German officers. You know, they'd use real cadavers and throw them in the ocean and have they had to throw out a whole bunch of them before the Germans found one with fake codes on it. It was fake British dead soldiers. They also did some fake dead German ones. They probably had the frozen body, got the cadaver in there, shot it up, and then these SEALs are deader than a hammer. These guys are going to be killed.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As they're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, we just had the former head of Pakistani intelligence who ran the Mujahideen under Ronald Reagan, who Gould liked and admired and who Reagan commended, on saying that 9/11 is an inside job staged, that CIA is commanding their forces against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. They've lost 30,000 troops in this fracas. And that here it is in the middle of a major defense complex with their West Point right down the street. And that he was supposedly there 6 years, and nobody noticed a 6'4" guy, including U.S. intelligence and U.S. troops that are crawling all over Pakistan. And he mentioned the CIA agent. In fact, print me that article, guys, because I want to go off even the Washington Post. Remember a few weeks ago, CIA agent caught with uranium trying to give it to Muslims so they could blame it on the Pakistani government? Folks, they're framing Pakistan now. We can't have wars with everybody. Now all these U.S. senators are calling for bombardments of Syria. The CIA is admitting that they are fomenting the people in the South, the Muslim Brotherhood again. They put the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt now, and they're banning any protest. Now they're using Al-Qaeda against Gaddafi. You can't make this stuff up. And now they say, oh, actually, bin Laden didn't fight back. Actually, bin Laden didn't use his wife as a shield. Actually, that photo we released Sunday night, it wasn't real. It was a Photoshop. We caught him, so they had to admit that. Now they've got a new Photoshop coming out. They dumped the body in the sea. Can't you smell the lie here? The way it's the kickoff of the campaign. The good news is the major Tea Party sites are questioning it. I've got those articles. Breitbart, the big spinoff guy from Drudge, the media powerhouse, he's questioning it. Because if you have any integrity, you cannot buy it. It is it just on its face, it's cartoonish. Now, here's the Washington Post reporting on it. Here's the New York Post. Here's the LA Times. Literally thousands of articles are attacking us right now. We're going to Stephen Pachinik coming up in the next hour. He is the former deputy to, of course, Henry Kissinger, deputy secretary of state, CFR, who first broke to the world that bin Laden was frozen on ice and was going to be rolled out expediently later. Then two White House sources told me. Oh, it just goes on and on. And then Madeleine Albright came out, and then Walter Cronkite came out, and then Teresa Hines-Carey. Remember that in 2003? I mean, it's not like I just said, oh, they claim they killed bin Laden. I'm going to say it's a conspiracy theory. I've been telling you this is coming, and now we've got fake photos. It goes on and on. But I wanted to read to you before we go to James Corbett what Cindy Sheehan said on her website, and I want to get her on as well, probably tomorrow. I'm sorry, but if you believe the newest death of OBL, you're stupid. That's because there were eight others before that. Sheehan writes, just think to yourself, they parade Saddam's dead sons around to prove they were dead. Well, the first time they did, it was wax figurines. For 2 days, they showed these heads, and they later they said, those are wax figurines. There it is. They've released the dead bin Laden photo. It looks... And they're still saying they can't confirm it. This is so ridiculous. Obama, bin Laden, death photo with a question. And who's putting this out? You'd think the White House would put this out. Live Leaks put it out. And notice it looks like a wax figurine. Again, the point is I've got Watson digging up because I remember it in the news. For a day they said, here's the dead sons. They had all this shrapnel and their heads were all damaged. They said, oh, it was... wax representations, like the wax museum. And now you look at that, they have a green light, and supposedly night vision light, so that you can't tell. And it looks so fake. And he doesn't even have a gray beard. The guy had a gray beard 12 years ago. Oh, my gosh, I can't handle this. And there's the smiling troop. Oh, we'll see if this is another fake to even confuse people more. Continuing, I'm sorry, but if you believe the newest death of OBL, you're stupid, Sheehan writes. Just think to yourself, they paraded Saddam's dead sons around to prove they were dead. Why do you suppose they hastily buried this version of OBL at sea? This lying, murderous empire that only exist with your brainwashed consent. Just put your flags away and think. That's right, absolutely. What the flag symbolizes is being killed. Now, I wanted to get James Corbett on, not only because I saw excellent analysis he was putting out and the nine other times, you know, he's been killed, or the eight other, now making this nine, but also he's in Japan and he can report on the rising radiation levels there. James Corbett is edited and webmastered the Corbett Report. He's also has a new book coming out, Reportage, Essays on the New World Order, CorbettReport.com. And he joins us from Japan. It's great to have you on, James. Give us your breakdown on this Jerry Bruckheimer scripted situation.
Well, thank you for having me on today. And every bit of that dread that you were talking about earlier that you feel is what I'm feeling right now. And that's why I was up until 3 or 4 in the morning last night as well. And I'm up at it again tonight because I absolutely see the shift that's going on here. And I think what we've seen is really they're discarding the Trump card in the war on terror because that Trump card is no longer usable. And so they've jettisoned their old CIA asset who wasn't really working as their boogeyman anymore. And they're taking this game to a completely different level. And I can't help but think that that means that there is some tectonic shifts coming up. And I've been talking for some time now. I talked about on your program a couple of months ago about how this really represents the beginning pre stages of a lead up to World War III and a confrontation in the long run with China. And I think this is another part on that road. And I think obviously they're setting up Pakistan for some major military action in the very near future. And we know that just 6 days before they rolled out this corpse to tell us that Osama is dead, we know that just 6 days before the WikiLeaks false flag operation released those documents from Guantanamo, which said that, of course, they've got nukes planted all over Europe and they're going to unleash them if Osama ever dies. So I don't take that as a threat from the shadowy, mythical Al-Qaeda terrorist organization. I take that as a threat from the real terrorists who are, of course, puppeteering those patsies and stooges.
Now, when I mentioned Jerry Bruckheimer, for folks that doubt this, with the private Jessica Lynch story, if we remember, at the time I watched the video and I said, this is all scripted. And then I looked at maps of where U.S. forces were. They had controlled that area for at least 3 days when Jessica Lynch was, quote, rescued. And they kicked in doors, beat people up. She was hiding, under the hospital bed when they got there. And they told her, we're now going to tell you, and Jerry Bruckheimer, and the BBC reported it, had written the story, that the men wouldn't fight, but she climbed up with a 50 cal on the top and killed dozens of them. And people were like, man, this is good for women in the military. And it turned out it was an Army psyop to sell women in the military. It turns out she hid in the back of the vehicle cowering. And later she had to go public. She said, no, it's not true. It was actually several Hispanic members of the team. They ambushed and killed a bunch of folks. I forget their names, but two Hispanic members of the team. And it was just a supply detail. They fought off the Iraqi forces. And then five of the team that started saying it wasn't true, they were all killed. They were drowned. They died in car wrecks in Phoenix, Arizona. They were in a nice neighborhood having a barbecue party for one of them, and a guy in a black uniform and a mask popped up, double-tapped him in the head, total black op, because they didn't want that story coming out. This was all a black op. We've got, of course, don't forget, the NFL player who went over there, and he wrote letters home, Pat Tillman's, and saying, this is all made up. I'm going to come back and expose it. You know, the drug dealing, all of it. This war is fake. And they just said, look, you were a big recruiting tool. You die. And they shot him a bunch. People, black ops in his unit. They walked up on him. The Army coroners went public with this. He obviously was begging, and they just triple tapped right in the head. You're going to go tell people about the drugs? Die, sucker! You're fragged! Ugh, New World Order! So the point is, Bruckheimer scripted the whole Private Lynch thing. She'd been there for 3 days. The Iraqis went to the U.S. forces who'd taken over and said, she's here, come get her. They knew no Iraqi government was there. For 3 days, Bruckheimer got the whole event ready, scripted it, how she was the hero. And Corbett, I know I'm ranting. This is so important.
It is important. And you bring out some good points earlier about the psyop that they staged with the phony flash mob with those poor fluoride-addled college kids. And I think a lot of people that I've talked to have said, well, wow, that looks exactly like what they were showing on 9/11 with the Arabs partying in the streets. And I think that to me is part of this media psyop, because it seems like it's designed to give that reaction so that they're in a way showing, you know, the Americans are exactly what they were fighting against. And I think that's again, part of this whole psyop that's going on right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. When we come back, I want to get your rundown of what's fishy in the story, in the photos, with bin Laden supposedly being dead, and the larger geopolitical ramifications. But in the minute and a half before break, I saw you on RT really rattle off a cornucopia of the history and why you question this.
Right. Well, because as I pointed out in my article yesterday and you put up on your site, they have now announced Osama's death on about eight or nine different occasions now that I've been able to count. And that was just a quick count. But going back to President Musharraf and the Afghan Taliban and the FBI counterterror chief, Dale Watson, and the current president of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, again and again, over and over for the past 9 years, they've talked about, oh, he's probably dead. He's gone. We got word he died in the Pakistan earthquake in 2005, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't see any reason to take this one any more seriously until they release something resembling evidence of that Osama bin Laden actually died. But again, I think to a certain extent, that's a distraction because the real issue here is the geopolitical moves that they're going to be making based on this orchestrated psyop.
And that's what's giving me chills. We'll talk about the larger geopolitical when we come back. But remember, these are folks that murdered Pat Tillman, and the Army coroner, the doctor, wouldn't lie. He said he was shot at far range. Later, the witnesses admitted the truth. They shot him. He begged for help. They went up to help him, and then they shot him from 3 feet. Powder burns. Spaced right in his eyes. Shot him right in the face with a 3 burst from an M16. And then they told you Al-Qaeda. Corbett of the Corbett Report, finishing up on the geopolitical ramifications of this, the public not buying it, the news is the dinosaur media panicking, and then a quick report, maybe I'll hold you over and just keep our next guest till maybe 35 after or so, some news on what's happening with the radiation-stricken Japan and the clouds settling in over the U.S.,
All right. Well, on the geopolitical note, I think it's extremely important to understand that Pakistan is being set up here. And the fact that Osama bin Laden was supposedly found just down the street from the Pakistan Military Academy, that is not by accident. There's clearly an attempt to coordinate something that will look very much will implicate the Pakistani military establishment in this. So in order to justify the further incursion into Pakistan, and we know that, of course, the drones have been dropping bombs on Pakistan for some time now. So that's not necessarily a market shift in strategy. It's just the sort of like the Gulf of Tonkin sort of made the Vietnam War into an official war instead of what it was before. So in the exact same way, they're just going to try to up the ante here and escalate what's already going on. But this is a very disturbing move because, of course, we see Pakistan and China with their close alliance that may even become closer, of course, if they're threatened by U.S. aggression. So there's a very, very volatile situation developing here. And this only plays even further into what's already sweeping through the Middle East, of course, and with Syria looking up until this point, at any rate, like it was the next in the crosshairs. Maybe there's been a bit of a change now, but all of this is very disturbing. And of course, it's all predicated on the mythical phony war on terror with the phony boogeyman Al-Qaeda, which is okay in Libya, but is the enemy in Afghanistan, apparently.
Well, they always launch new wars with a big hyped PR event. You can see all the scripting, not just all the lies they've been caught in. And notice in the last few months, we've told folks, Pakistan's next, Pakistan's next. They're positioning all of this because Saudi Arabia knows they're being double-crossed. and have run to Pakistan for nuclear protection. This is spiraling out of control. World War III, a hot war, folks, is right now on the table. The globalists are seriously considering it. But we go back to 2007, Admiral Fox Fallon, the head of CENTCOM, was ordered to launch the attack on Iran. That later came out, and he said no, gave an interview, and then resigned. Then Cheney tried to stage the attacks on the ships. That even came out in New Yorker magazine with Iranian ships, U.S. ships painted up like Iranians, but that didn't work. I mean, we are on the razor's edge right now, James. This is real.
This is incredibly real, and all of the different aspects of the way that this Osama bin Laden PSYOP plays into their hands is mind-boggling. I mean, not only the fact we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, thereby completely undercutting all of the momentum that was going into that for relaunching an investigation into 9/11, all of that undermined as now the official story gets to tied up in a nice pink little bow with everybody cheering and waving the American flag, and it also plays into the ongoing war. It plays into the distraction from the economy, which I think is a point that Rand Paul was making earlier on the Judge Napolitano. It plays into their hands in so many different ways. And of course, then it just helps to discard one of their old boogeymen that wasn't really doing what they wanted. But I personally think World War III, if it is to be a hot war, will not get started without some sort of nuclear false flag. And that's what I'm worried about right now, especially given that they were just 5 days ago releasing these leaked documents that supposedly indicate they have hundreds of nukes, you know, buried all over Europe or whatever they're trying to do.
That's right, James. You've just hit the key here. You can always tell what they're going to do or thinking about doing by the preparatory phase. And it's nukes out of Pakistan in America. They're going to hit America or Europe. All of it scripted, all of it building up. Then the CIA agent caught with the uranium. I mean, this all happened. I mean, here's CNN. And first they said, oh, he's not CIA. And then later they had to admit he was. The point is, this is all converging, this is all moving, and you notice it's happening as the dollar is plunging. This is just unspeakable.
It is unspeakable, and unfortunately, I can only see things escalating from here. I don't know if there's a way for them to back out of this at this point, because they're going on this momentum right now, and we are seeing such incredible movements geopolitically right now that I think to a certain extent this is also a diversionary tactic, because we know that the economy is collapsing and they need a boogeyman to blame it on, and they're going to use this.
Let's finish up with more of the anomalies. Than the clear scripting of all this and all the things they now have had to admit weren't true, even inside their official fable. And then let's talk a little bit about Fukushima. You're there in Japan. James Corbett's our guest, and we're going to talk to another important guest as well. Report, than OJ, Owen J.J. Stone, who's been a guest here with us before, technology writer and researcher, is going to be popping in via video Skype to give us his take on all this. And then we have Steve Pachinik, former deputy State Department, deputy secretary of the State Department under Henry Kissinger. He's going to be joining us because he reportedly worked with bin Laden and the Mujahideen for many years, and he was the first person to go public from a high-level position in 2002 and say that bin Laden was dead and frozen on ice to be rolled out at an expedient political time. Then they got picked up by Madeleine Albright, many others went public with it. It was big news that broke here. After 9-plus years of not being with us, Mr. Pachinik will be on. He's scheduled coming up in T-minus 26 minutes after Owen J.J. Stone. Finishing up, Mr. Corbett, with any other points about this World War III scenario that we're being maneuvered into, right as the world government is announced, right as the dollar is being destroyed, right as the stock market is plunging, gold and silver up, Treasury to take steps to stay below debt ceiling, That's CNBC. Endgame for China and U.S. economic standoff, CNBC. Gold versus fiat money, picking a winner. U.S. debt rating should be C, independent agency. See, all of this is going on. U.S. stocks falls, investors turn defensive. I mean, this is what's happening right now while we're busy watching college kids run around and scream, yeah, USA, USA. What is the USA is disintegrating. But we also have 500 times safe levels.
I want to point out for your listeners and viewers right now, you're so right about all the storm clouds that we can see coming off on the horizon while people are busy partying, and we're trying to get ready for it. But I want to concur with something you said earlier. You made an exceptionally important point about how people are not falling for this PSYOP, and I've seen that going on online right now as well. I've had over 50,000 views of my Good Morning America Learns Bin Laden's CIA video in the last 24 hours, and the vast majority of the comments on there are people saying this is ridiculous. They buried the body at sea. This is insane. I don't believe any of this. There are so many people out there right now who are questioning this, and people who even would normally fall for this type of stuff are not falling for it right now. So people really need to get out there and start stressing and pointing out the Al-Qaeda myth and all of the various parts of that, because I think people are very receptive to it at this moment. And this is the moment where we can inoculate people with truth so that they can be armed with truth for when they try to stage whatever type of false flag or whatever type of precipitating event they're going to try to stage.
The system is going after the lowest common denominator. I went and saw a month ago the battle for L.A. About space aliens invading, and it's the worst movie I've ever seen. But it was done over the top, sicky, sappy, unadmitted Marine Corps ad. And it's not that I'm against the Marine Corps, folks. It was a recruiting ad for kids with a little kid crying, saying, I'm your little Marine. You are my little Marine. And, I mean, it is nothing but a giant recruiting ad. They admit the Pentagon pays millions for this to be put in. We know propaganda when we see it. And the point is, we're being propagandized. And it's the same thing with this. The sicky, sweet way it's rolled out, how it's done for lowest common denominator, where any thinking person sees how ridiculous it is. It's just incredible. Closing points on Japan.
Two very important stories came out last week that kind of flew under the radar as the Fukushima situation gets swept under the rug. But two very important points. One of them, one of the radiation advisors to the prime minister, a professor at a university here, resigned in disgust with the government, saying that they're politicizing what's going on here and they're just tinkering with radiation, maximum allowable radiation levels and things like that for political purposes. So that was a very important point. That's extremely unusual for advisors to the prime minister to just resign out of the blue like that here in Japan. And then another story about the Japanese Meteorological Agency coming under fire because they're doing these detailed radiation fallout predicting the path of the fallout and where it's going to go, but they're not releasing it to the public, and they're coming under fire for this. But basically they're saying, oh, the ignorant and uneducated public just wouldn't be able to handle it because they'd panic over this. So,
by the way, the top radiation advisor to the government quit and said levels are much higher than you've said. You didn't even evacuate schools 12 miles away while the Koreans are wearing masks and not even going out in the last month.
We see the stoic Japanese facade slipping a little bit because some of the parents of those people in that area are starting to get angry and telling the government, we don't want our kids playing in these radioactive sandboxes out there.
Yes, and on top of it, you notice you've got Japanese top people coming out and saying they're covering up radiation levels. They admit 500 times safe levels of different isotopes found in milk and food all over the U.S. because more and more keeps belching out, and they say it may be melting down for years now and then building up as it hits us. And our government just raises the radiation level thousands of times what it previously was and says everything's fine, and there's not even a discussion of it here. I mean, this is incredible.
It is incredible. And Alex, you're familiar with the video of that mayor of Minami-Soma who went on YouTube and said the government's not telling us anything and they're not helping us out?
Yes, I am. And with all of the royal wedding diversions and with the diversions with Bin Laden, we're not focusing on a lot of things we should have. And Fukushima's getting worse, for those that don't know, not
That's
better.
Right. And that mayor actually is, I'm in touch with someone who's in touch with that mayor, and he wants to come on the program. So I'm going to fire that off to your producer so you can set up an interview with him.
Absolutely beautiful. Please send that to Jaron immediately. James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We'll talk to you again very soon. Be safe over there in Japan.
You too. Thank you.
All right. We're going to get connected with ONJJ Stone here. and have him joining us here in a few minutes. I've been so busy that yesterday and today I haven't even been plugging our sponsors, and it is our sponsors that make the radio broadcast possible. And one of the biggest sponsors is the online video bookstore, My Films, the t-shirts. When you buy that stuff, you don't just get films to wake up others or a book to raise your level of understanding and to intellectually challenge you and to get the juices flowing. You also financially support this frontline operation against the globalists in defense of the Republic and free humanity worldwide. So please think about the online video bookstore shopping cart. During these serious times, please financially support us by purchasing the books, the bumper stickers, the T-shirts, and all orders get citizen rule books in them. Very important to support us at Infowars.com. You can also get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, $5.95 a month, 15 cents a day. See all the films, expanded extras, higher quality podcasts, the video podcast, all at PrisonPlanet.tv. Very easy to sign up there and become a member and support us. I want to thank all the members. We couldn't do any of this without you. This is a true independent platform thanks to your help. Also, the other sponsors that make it possible, great folks like eFoodsDirect.com. With the intensifying depression, with the implosion of the dollar, with World War III, a serious possibility. I've never talked like that. All of our experts coming on. You just heard the former head of Pakistani intelligence. I mean, it's in the news. The Chinese are concerned. The globalists are moving. And they'll wrap their attack in the American flag. Everybody needs storable food. And when you get a regular order of their high-quality gourmet storable food that lasts more than 10 years at $9.95, you get a free 10-day extreme emergency kit of $300 value, eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Don't procrastinate. Also, Diamond Gusset is running specials right now at Gusset, GUSSET.com/sale, Gusset.com/sale, where you can get big discounts on the products. And they've also got the free MP3 of Looking for America that has gone as high as number 4 on the GAC country charts that they help produce and fund with the great music of Mark Wills about Looking for America, reindustrializing our country, Gusset.com/sale. They got a lot of specials right now, and the folks at Diamond Gusset want to thank the Alex Jones Show first. They say thank you for playing it here first and making it a hit. Gusset.com/sale. Finally, MySolarBackup.com. We've been promoting these now for almost 4 years. Our listeners just love them. It's a simple plug-and-play solar panel with a control unit and the battery system. You get a whole bunch of these, run your whole house, but it's great for campouts, great for your work shed or to run certain appliances in your home. It's more important than ever to start moving towards getting off the grid. 877-327-0365. Individual solar is the way to go, not globalist centralized solar. 877-327-0365 or mysolarbackup.com. Check them out today. Now, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get him on at 8 after, so it's clean and the full audience hears it. We'll keep Mr. Stone till 5 after. Coming up is Dr. Pachinik. Dr. Steve Pachinik served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. George Shultz and James Baker are even above Kissinger. Dr. Pachinik continues to consult the Department of Defense Council on Foreign Relations Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. I'm not going to go over his whole bio. He's the first person to come out and say that Bin Laden was frozen and dead. Confirmed. April 2002 on my show. And then I had other White House officials that were current approach me. And then, of course, then you saw Madeleine Albright and everybody else come out a year later and say it was true. Folks, this is big news. It's coming up next hour. I'm doing a fourth hour of overdrive just to take your calls. But joining us now, because I like the points that he was basically making, Owen J.J. Stone, co-hosts some of the biggest radio programs in the country, like This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte. He has his own programs, owenjjstone.com. He's the founder of the Inquiring Minds Media. Pardon me? Minds Media. Oh, thank you. Just that mic's so low, guys. I really don't ever. That's the kind of why it's such a big issue, because I don't ever really hear when you say stuff. Internet TV show host, public speaker on topics including social media, technology, and politics. And we now bring him to the airwaves to go over some of the points and questions that he has with the capture of bin Laden. Owen, good to have you on with us.
Thanks for having me on, Alex. Appreciate it.
Well, break it down. You've got a whole laundry list here. Does not end the war. I mean, you just run through the inconsistencies.
Well, Sunday night, you know, like everybody else, I sat on the internet and I made jokes about Osama being dead, and it was funny and all that kind of stuff. Had a good time. And as soon as the president got done talking, I turned off my television and I just watched the stream on Twitter and Facebook of people talk about what CNN was saying. Fox was already making mistakes and stumbling on themselves. And I just was like, and that's exactly why I turn off mainstream media. And, you know, it's all fun and games to say, oh, the guy's dead. But the way that people reacted, I mean, people ran to Ground Zero. I have a lot of friends in New York. I do business in New York. I'm there all the time. There are two holes in the ground after 10 years. And for people to run to that scene to cry and sing and jump on top of lampposts drives me insane. I'm like, 10 years, Osama won. So whether he was dead 5 years ago or he was dead yesterday or he's not dead, the guy won. 10 years of terror, we haven't built a tent in New York City Ground Zero. And the president wants to go there on Thursday for what? To look at two holes in the ground? It's insane to me. And, you know, after Sunday night of having fun with it, it's just like, well, there goes the talk on the economy. There goes the talk on education. Let's ramp up more talk on war. And we're obviously not going to cut that out of the budget. So my mind blew. And listening to your show today, you know, the thing is, it doesn't even matter if the guy's dead or not because of all the other stuff that they're going to do in spite of whether he's dead or not.
Well, you hit the nail on the point or the nail on the head. All over talk radio, all over television, liberal, conservative, it's all the same. We're going to get back on national security now. You know, even if we don't have new wars, it's good to get folks unified and worried about an outside threat. That'll help the economy. They want to divert everybody on the plunging dollar, everything else that's happening. And now they want to frame Pakistan. If you were listening, oh, doctor, then you heard our last guest and you heard General Gould earlier. I mean, they're clearly trying to frame Pakistan for this. And, Gould pointed out U.S. intelligence is all over our country. Your military's here. You didn't know he was there for 6 years? I mean, this story is just impossible. And now they dump the body in the ocean?
Well, the fun thing about that is two things. First, I'll talk about from the ground level. You know, I'm not an expert in a lot of fields in this space, but I do talk to people. And people in New York, it was split between, oh, happy day, and oh, my God, what's going to happen? They instantly put that fear into people. As soon as they got done saying Osama was dead, they instantly flipped on the switch of, well, there might be retaliation. There might be retaliation. Every single outlet, every single major news network said it. And the problem with America is people get tired really quick of negativity. So maybe they don't listen to shows like yours or listen to the corrections. They listen that first night, the next day, and then they turn it off. So all they got is Osama's dead. They throw him off. They don't know the lies that they've already been caught in or anything like that. So it's really the machine has already started. And, you know, thank God for the Internet. Thank God for independent shows like yourself, because people just need to understand that, you know, what are you supposed to be afraid of? If you're going to be afraid, you're supposed to be afraid of the last 10 years regardless. The guy's dead, apparently, whatever. It's not going to raise my threat level unless the government wants to raise the threat level. I mean, our previous president told us there are weapons of mass destruction and there weren't. So I'm supposed to believe this president to tell me that there's weapons of mass destruction? It's a tired, sad game, and heaven forbid if we fall for it, especially after watching Japan. You and I just talked about Japan last month, and you were right on the fact that they're covering up stuff and lying. The day after I was on your show, they had to come out and retract a lot of things and pull things back. So people should know they can't trust governments. They should know.
Well, that's the central point, is a credibility issue. Government lies even when the truth would serve them, because they're liars. And they're constantly lying. They're constantly being caught in lies. Remember Jessica Lynch, where they said she was this big commando woman and killed all these Iraqis, and it turned out she cowered and it wasn't true. And when the survivors said it wasn't true, they were all killed. I mean, folks, look that up. And then she went public and said, it's true. I was hiding under the thing. And they had Jerry Bruckheimer, a script, saving her from the hospital when the Iraqis had pulled out 3 days before and the Iraqi doctors had contacted the Americans. saying, you know, come get her. And so they scripted a whole Hollywood thing saving her. And remember Pat Tillman. It came out that they murdered him. They killed him. They shot him at a distance. Later, the unit admitted he begged for help. And then somebody went up there and shot him 3 times in the head at point blank, 3 feet away. And the media said Al-Qaeda killed him. Of course they lie. I mean, what do people think?
Well, the biggest thing about Pat Tillman is his parents. And his parent, he was a football player. You can't kill a football player and get away with it. His parents immediately went to the mainstream media. You can't take them out. So they get to champion for him. And if they weren't relentless, that story would have been covered up. And as far as this female officer, my daughter's never going into the military. Because as much as they want to talk about that, they never talk about how many women are sexually harassed and or raped. Overseas in the military, you know, they always suppress that. They
oh yeah, well, most women in the military are basically camp girls. Yeah,
yeah. So you know, they don't ever want to talk about that issue. You know, you see the special on HBO. They run like once or twice, and then they get pulled off because it's bad business. And like you said, the government pays a lot of money to a lot of media outlets to perform and project this image. And you know, at some point, it's got to stop. I keep telling people like. It's not a war on drugs. You know, you can get drugs anytime you want. Anybody listening to this program knows somebody that can get them drugs. And if you don't know somebody, you can go to your pharmacist down the street and get quote unquote legal drugs prescribed to you. But they can't stop drugs. The war on terror, who's terror? I don't know what terror is. I'm scared my dog might run into the street. Is that terror? I don't know. The real
stay there. Stay there. Let's break it more down with Owen J.J. Stone, the O Doctor. I'm Alex Jones. Infowars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I tend to get overheated here on air with all the facts, all the info, all the research. I mean, I've interviewed the heads of the embassies. I've interviewed Sybil Edmonds, the FBI translator that heard the CIA commanding Al-Qaeda for months before 9/11, running white slavery, that's sex slaves, running drugs, running weapons, running in communication with someone calling himself Osama bin Laden. She didn't know. But it was CIA. I mean, that's on record. She testified to Congress and they gagged her. And there's hundreds of these people. There's hundreds of them. People are like, well, why are you saying you don't believe the official story? Why are you believing anything that comes out of their mouths? This is the government that stole tens of trillions of your tax money and gave it to foreign banks and wouldn't let you know where it went. And wouldn't tell Congress, and finally lawsuits got filed by private interest, and they found out about 5% of it or a little less, and it was almost $1 trillion, much of it to MSNBC secretly and others. We got a crew of gangsters running things, and now they're trying to frame Pakistan. Going back to the O Doctor, and that's Owen J.J. Stone, going through more of these points. We're now seeing literally hundreds of articles with the media pointing out that a lot of people aren't buying this. It's funny, the Tea Party folks and some of the Republicans aren't buying it because they don't like Obama and they see it as a political score for him. But those that are sophisticated know Obama, Bush, they come and go. These people are front men. What's your take on that?
To end my point last time, it's the war on finance. All the stuff you just said about the money going somewhere, that's our war that no one wants to talk about. That's the war the government never wants to say the words to you, but it's the war on finance. The poor get poor, so they, you know, white slavery, trade slavery, slavery in general, because you're stuck at the bottom and you can't do anything without money. You can't make go packs to survive. You can't run out of the country for a couple of months if, you know, S hits the fan. You're kind of screwed if you don't have capital and the right capital and the right investments. You know, you promote gold and silver and stuff with some of your advertisements, things that people just don't know about. And, you know, the president being a front man, he's a smiley, happy guy. You know, I don't even not like the president. I like the president. He's a fun, happy guy. I don't know what he does. I don't really know, you know, what he gets done. If you just watch the fact that you have to sit there and listen to somebody like Donald Trump, then he goes and pulls out his birth certificate. Oh, so let's shut Donald Trump down. Then he makes fun of Donald Trump on Saturday all night long in his congression. Then Sunday night he drops this bin Laden bomb. I'm like, if that's not a PR reel, if that's not you sat down with a PR agent and they said, okay, we're going to hit him with a softball, a medium ball, and we're going to bring it home with this.
And like, then the Monday, with all cameras on you, you'll present posthumous Medal of Honor, and they'll talk. I mean, it's all exactly. You're a media guy. You can see the scripting. Yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer scripted Saving Private Lynch, and it turned out it was all fake, and then people were murdered. U.S. Army was murdered who said it was a lie, and then it came out it was a lie. These people script things. Of course it's bull. It's, you know what it is.
It's a show. It's a show. And anybody who has any watched any kind of sitcom or TV show, you know, you ramp them up with something light and then you hit them with something middle and then you bring it home at the end of the show. And that's all it is. And I mean, like, and literally the news was dominated by a freaking couple getting married. They spent $36 million. That's not our money, but taxpayers' money. That shows you how much the rich care about the poor. I mean, England's screwed with their finances, but they got enough money to spend $36 million on a wedding for rich kids. Okay, that's how the rich think, and that's how the powerful think. So you sit there and you watch the president. He knocks that out of the mainstream media with his birth certificate. And then, like I said, he sits there and they have dinner. $10,000, $20,000 plate to sit there and watch this guy make jokes. I mean, you talk about finances. I mean, $1 billion he's raising for a campaign.
Hey, he knows they're about to tag bin Laden. This could start a war with Pakistan. Special forces are going in. He'd be there planning it, watching. He would cancel the press dinner. Exactly. It's all staged. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Steve Pachenik coming up in T-minus 8 minutes. This is going to be bombshell. If you just joined us, you want inside intel? Somebody that knows Osama bin Laden? Was the head deputy under Henry Kissinger at the State Department? And others? You're about to get it, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a lot of courage coming on our show. And knowing that we were going to get him on today, I was driving a little safer, watching my back. Let me tell you, the system is not going to like what you're about to hear. So going back to Owen J.J. Stone of owenjjstone.com, technology researcher, commentary, TV host, radio host. Look, that's it. It's the cut of the tailor. It's the hype. It's the cheesiness. It's the pep rally. It's the scripting. And then it's all the lies. I mean, when you heard that they'd thrown his body in the ocean.
That was the best thing that happened. That was the best thing that happened to America. When they told me that they put this man's body in the ocean, I was like, oh, thank you, because that's something people can't believe. You know, 9/11, buildings exploding, you know, they got scientists against it and for, you know, people want to argue. The fact that they didn't bring this fool's body home, you've been looking for a guy for 10 years and you throw him in the ocean? You throw him in the biggest place that nobody could ever find him. You throw him in the ocean. You don't incinerate him, you know, and then you want to tell me DNA? You threw him in the ocean? Thank you. I thank the government. We're saying that they threw Osama bin Laden in the ocean because my daughter's 3 years old and she couldn't believe that story. She'd be like, Daddy, why didn't they bring the prince home to show everybody and parade him through the streets? Nobody could believe that. No one.
And remember the first photo they put out was a Photoshop, and folks then and all these newspapers had it posted as a real photo of the dead bin Laden. And then they just kind of said, oh, that was fake too. And now they say, oh, yeah, he didn't fight back and he didn't throw his wife in front of him. And that's a trick liars do. They're like, oh, my general story's true. We did kill bin Laden, but there were a few things we got wrong. You're like, oh, well, you told me the truth on that. It's kind of like when I go to the cookie jar, an entire bag of cookies have been stolen. And I go to my son and my daughters and I call them before me and I say, who stole the cookies? And they'll sit there and go, well, I only ate one. I mean, 20. I mean, I'm sorry. This is incredible.
The best thing about things like pictures and videos anymore, they're programs that techies run that they can scan and see if it's been Photoshopped. So, I mean, the mainstream media should know this. There are people out there that are highly skilled, way more skilled than them, and working independently that fact check these things. I mean, literally, there's a program that runs that'll tell you if Photoshop picture's been Photoshopped or not. But instead, they still put it out there because mainstream people don't get it. They don't know. So they just want to trick those people and get the ball rolling and, you know, drag us into another war if you want to. I mean, again, people are going broke right now. The gas is too high, and people are getting rich off of that. Exxon just posted, you know, $1 trillion, whatever, last quarter profit. I mean, people are sick and tired of it. They just can't handle it anymore. You hear GE making $14 billion in profit, not paying 1 cent in taxes. People can't handle it. And thank God they put this man in the ocean.
Do you know what?
That just made me laugh.
Do you know what happened just down the road from me? I've been to the hotel and the bar in San Antonio. It's across the street from the Alamo, where the Rough Riders, Teddy Roosevelt, William Randolph Hearst, and others got the order to go start a war in Cuba as the pretext to start the war with the Spanish. Then, of course, they blew up this battleship Maine as a pretext, as a false flag to attack all the Spanish possessions in the Pacific, Philippines, you name it. But William Randolph Hearst told all of his illustrators with his newspapers, he said, you provide the paintings, the images, I'll provide the war. And they ran fake, they were even able to do this then, illustrations and even doctored photos in newspapers nationwide that they were engaged in atrocities in Cuba, the Spanish. And later they admitted it was all fake. And that's what they're doing. This is the modern yellow journalism.
It's set up to play that game. And again, you know, like you said, PR stunt and everything set up so that people will believe something. But when you make a big mistake after big mistake after big mistake, people can't swallow it. You know, if you're going to tell me the guy is dead, just tell me there's DNA. Tell me you sent a shot of rocket in there. You know, or when you sent a helicopter. I mean, these people don't even think. They think that Americans are so stupid.
Absolutely. Know, they think Americans are like those folks at the White House demonstrating. Thank you so much for joining us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I've got goosebumps with this next guest. It's just incredible information. In early 2002, I was put in touch with Dr. Steve Pachinik, and I'll give you his bio, very prestigious here in a moment. Working under the biggest kingmakers in modern U.S. history, the trifecta, James Baker, George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, and Cyrus Vance. But the big three, from all of our sources, George Shultz, James Baker, way above even Kissinger. That's why you don't even see them out there. And these are the guys that go right to the elite of the world and that are their imperial legates, the people that speak for them, that make the deals with China, with Russia. They're the envoys. They're the above government power brokers that are the spokesman of the collective elite and these top councils. And he was their deputy, all three of them. And Cyrus Vance as well, high-powered, all four of them. And I got him on the show, and he also a CFR fellow at the time. I got him on the show, and he just basically said this whole war on terror is a hoax. And he said the intel is they've got Bin Laden dead on ICE, and they're going to roll him out sometime in the future. And I said, ICE? He goes, literally. Now, then about a year later, at an event, I had a well-known Republican, part of the Bush administration. I mean, well-known enough that I knew who they were. Call me aside at an event and say, listen, this is off record, because I was already known then as being somebody who can keep secrets if it's off record as a journalist. The more secrets you keep, the more secrets you get. That's why so many pour in. The MIAC, Homeland Security reports, you name it, we're a regular WikiLeaks here. It's just that our info's real, not sprinkled like theirs. Now, Dr. Pachinik came on, and then Hades broke loose after he came on. He said he was on ICE and all this happened. And I looked up Pachinik. I mean, he was there with the Mujahideen, knew these people. Talk about somebody who's living history. I mean, he's seen so much of it. But then after, I talked to one White House official, and then another person well-known to me got it from another White House source. I'm just going to leave it at that. So two sources that I actually talked to, one on air, one privately, and then the other through someone I know for decades who was told the same information. And they said, this isn't a rumor, right? And they said, no, he's dead. The intel was, it was a cover story, the kidney stuff. He reportedly was sick from that they went ahead and got rid of him because he was putting those letters out saying, I didn't do it. And they wanted to take his identity and have him say he did. But Dr. Pachinik can correct me if I'm wrong. And that they did send in special forces. So in a way, it's true. And they killed him and have had him literally frozen. Now they throw him in the ocean. You know, all this stuff comes out. It's just ridiculous. They put out photo 2 days ago that was fake. Now they say another one's coming. So all of this is happening, but a year after I talked to him. These other sources told me the same thing. And then about 6 months later, Madeleine Albright went on Fox News. We have links to all those articles and videos. In our article, Inside Sources, Bin Laden's corpse has been on ice for nearly a decade. That has all the bibliography there for you. And I'm just prefacing this before we go to Dr. Pachinik because it's so important and a lot of folks are tuning in and watching right now, a record audience. That Madeleine Albright came out and said, the word is he's on ice, use that same term, and they're going to be rolling him out for the election. Then Walter Cronkite, Bohemian Grove, super high level, hanging out with the top people. That's kind of the Democratic wing. They got word that this was going to happen if Bush needed it. Then Teresa Hines Carey came out as the proxy for her husband and said, yeah, this is the word. So that scared Bush into not releasing it. By the way, I got threats over this. All sorts of dirty tricks when I was pushing this. And then it receded into history for another 6-7 years. And now it's back exactly the script we were told. So if you're a new listener, or if you're the Washington Post, or the New York Times, or New York Magazine, or LA Times, attacking me over this, actually a few of the articles are actually pretty fair, but some of them are ridiculous, like the New York Magazine, or the Atlantic with Jeff Goldberg, they're attacking us in cartoonish ways. If you're doubting this, look at the history we already have. Benazir Bhutto coming out. And saying, look, Bin Laden's dead. Stop using him as a pretext to be in Pakistan. A week later, she's killed. Our media says she hit her head. And then they release video of her being machine gunned by the assassin. And the word from Hamid Ghul and others, former head of Pakistani intelligence, is the White House pulled the trigger on her. Now our guests start telling us and our experts start telling us there's going to be a move against Pakistan in the last month. Then they catch the CIA operative, CNN reports, with the uranium, trying to get it to Mujahideen to then blame it on the regular army of Pakistan to build the case to snatch their nukes, which will bring China in, folks. This could be World War III. So all of that's happening. You have all these other world leaders that have said this. Now, I'm going to try to now give the floor to our guest, Dr. Steve Pachinik, served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, talk about knowing where the bodies are buried, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik continues to consult the Department of Defense. He received a Council on Foreign Relations Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for management. In the position he was, he created the Office of Combat Terrorism, the Family Liaison. And it just goes on for a long time. Dr. Pachinik is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. His experiences in government, international crisis management were the basis of Tom Clancy's characters, Jack Ryan and Richard Clark. And the website is stevepachinik.com. Pachinik, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. StevePachinik.com. We'll get links up at Infowars.com. And we're going to skip this network break coming up. This is so important. Dr. Pachinik, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to try to sit back, give you the floor to talk about what's currently happened, some of the history involved with these players. Bin Laden, who, going back to the interview that you intimately know, thank you for joining us.
It is a great pleasure and an honor. I want to thank you, Alex. I want to thank what you said. I think very much of what you said is very accurate. I will correct some of the issues that I think we've talked about, but I want to thank your audience for listening, and I want to say how important Alex Jones was after 9/11, when I knew very well at that time that the American public was being deceived and was being treated as if we were fools, stupid, ignorant, and cheats. I had hoped at that time, once I was on the Alex Jones show, and I broke ranks with my people at the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm a member also of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, the National Military Intelligence Association, and I volunteer repeatedly. I volunteered to still work with our military because, number one, I respect our military. Number two, we have sent men and women to wars which have not been clearly defined by civilians who have never been in war, including Clinton, including Bush Jr. in particular, who precipitated the wars into Iraq and Afghanistan, and now Obama. And I had hoped by that time in the past that we would have stopped fooling the American public and stopped creating an incursion into our own country, killing our own people. 9/11 has still not been fully explained, and it is not a conspiracy theory. It has nothing to do with all kinds of secrecy and cabal and any other issue. It has to do with a famous technique in warfare that we call stand down, false flag, deception, and denial. It was done during Pearl Harbor. Alex explained to you yesterday it was done by Hitler. It was done by LBJ during the war in Vietnam, where we had the Gulf of Tonkin, and he claimed that we had a false flag operation and we had to shoot the Vietnamese because they shot it. That was wrong. Many men died for that. Many men went to war. And at the same time, we had a stand down and a false flag, which was told to me repeatedly by the people I worked with, including a very famous general that I will not repeat his name, to protect him until I go to a grand jury. Now, what I'm saying today is very important. I was a deputy assistant secretary under Nixon, Ford, and came under special, and Carter. I resigned under Carter because I disagreed with the way he handled the hostage situation. I came back under Reagan to take down the Soviet Union, and I came back under Bush Sr. to work on Cambodia. I'm not a career foreign service. I'm not a career intelligence officer. I am what every American is. I'm a physician, but I'm an entrepreneur. I create businesses, and I believe in the American way of life, which is very simple. The hope, the faith, the dedication, and the lack of interference in my job, in my pocketbook, and in my speech and the ability to say what I want to say by the government. That doesn't mean I'm a Tea Party member, I'm a liberal, or I'm a conservative, or I belong to any party. I am strictly an American, and I'm saying this to you as Americans. We have once again been deceived. I thought this would cease and desist by the time Bush Jr. was elected and thrown out. I had asked that Bush Jr. be indicted for war criminals, Cheney be indicted, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Steve Hadley. It goes on and on and on. The issue now is we have brought to the forefront at a time when America is in deep peril economically, as Alex Jones has correctly explained to you. We are in deep peril because we are in two wars of which I have no idea why we're there. And I had warned even on the Alex Jones show 9 years ago, not we will go into Afghanistan and Iraq after the 9/11, and I predicted, and he was correct, Alex Jones, and you see it on your website, that Osama bin Laden would be dead and had been dead for over 7 months, not because special forces killed him, but because as a physician I had known that the CIA physicians had treated him, and it was on the intelligence roster that he had Marfan syndrome. Now, many of you can look up on the internet Marfan syndrome. It's a disease which is a genetic abnormality which Abraham Lincoln had, and it was the disease of the cataract of the eyes, of the coronary arteries, and what happens in that disease is that you have a very short lifespan. The fact that he had renal dialysis was not an issue of renal stones, which can be cured, and is not that serious or life-threatening, but he needed that dialysis machine, so he had to take it with him. It was not an accident that his number two man, El-Zawahiri, was a physician. It is not an accident that most leaders of terrorist organizations around the world are physicians. That's why I know them, because we understand our code of ethics and creed. Osama bin Laden died when we went into Afghanistan. General Tommy Franks had stated very clearly that he had died, and he made a slip. Now, we knew he had already died. By that time, by the time we had already gone into Afghanistan, he was, and in Pakistan, we knew he was dead. So the notion, when I came on the radio show in 2002 with Alex Jones, I said, listen, Osama bin Laden's dead. He's dead. There's no question about it. He had Marfan syndrome. It had nothing to do with special forces. He was used in the same way that 9/11 was used to mobilize the emotions and feelings of the American people in order to go to a war that had to be justified through a narrative that Bush Jr. created and Cheney created about the world of war terrorism. Now, I have been in that world for 30 years. During 30 years, we had never been attacked in America. I repeat it again. The question is not that we are safer now. We are not safer. The issue is we had never been attacked up till 9/11 because Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, and a group of other generals who were involved, who I know who they are and they know who I am, were decided that we had to mobilize the public in order to create a war on terrorism, which is an oxymoron. That war on terrorism no longer exists. We went into Iraq. Our military forces, and I have to tell you, I have the greatest respect for our military men, and I'm saying this to you, the generals, the colonels, the majors, and the captains, and I've been lecturing at the War College every year, be careful of the orders you receive from civilian presidents. I say it again, and listen to me. Beware of the orders that you receive from civilian presidents like Bush, Clinton, and Obama, particularly presidents who have never served in a war and do not know what the consequences of the war are, and the number of men and women who die bravely for our country and our cause because some civilian has to manipulate his political career at the expense of the American public and at the expense of the bodies and the blood and guts of our warriors who are so important to us.
All right, Doctor. Absolutely. Dr. Steve Pachenik is our guest. Yeah. We'll even have him a little bit into the next hour. He's very gracious. And I want to get more into that entire area that you were just raising. And I'm talking about my White House sources, so obviously they were probably given this info. I know that you said he was dying of the disease. I'd seen the videos of him, and even 98, 99, he looked like somebody who was near death then, obviously very ill. The new photos they show us, the CIA even had to admit last year in Spy Talk in the Washington Post that they were fake videos. So it's on record they put fake videos out. And I think that's very bold of them to tell the Washington Post, May 25th, 2010, Spy Talk, that they did fake them. We already knew that. We've seen the Adam Gadon videos uploaded in the same video layer as the Intel Center's logo. We've got Amaral Alaki, admittedly.
You see, Alex, the key that Mr. Jones, the key question America has to ask again and why I went back on your show is this has much greater implication just than the distortions and lies that are created by the intelligence community. And believe me, I work with the intelligence community. The question is, why does that have to be done repeatedly in different administrations to the American public, particularly now with the president, as you said, who had the lowest ratings, whose historical background is in question. I'm not only talking about his birth certificate, forget that, his education, how he came to power, whom he represents, and particularly in a time when Wall Street and the bankers have gotten away with the greatest crime in the history of America. Nobody was indicted, and particularly at a time when I do not understand, I who've been in war eight different times, why we are in Afghanistan and Iraq and why men and women are dying. So the issue becomes a little bit greater than the question of did the CIA or intelligence community doctor up this situation? The answer is yes, categorically yes. Anybody who tells you it's not is lying. This whole scenario where you see a bunch of people sitting there looking at a screen and they look as if they're intent, that's nonsense. It's a total makeup, make-believe. We're in an American theater of the absurd. The real issue is, why are we doing this again, Alex? Why 9 years later do I have to come on your show when I predicted 9 years ago this man was already dead? But it wasn't the issue of him. It was the issue of why does the government repeatedly have to lie to the American people who have worked so hard in order to justify their political existence when you basically have civilian leaders who are politicians.
Now, I understand, Dr. Pachenik. Let me stop you because you're dropping bombshell after bombshell. You know, you're the right-hand man of Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, James Baker, Cyrus Vance.
I wasn't anybody's right-hand man. Let me tell you, I got thrown out of more places than you can imagine, my friend.
Well, my point is you've been right up there.
I've been there.
Underneath these guys, and it's on record that Tom Clancy's character, Jack Ryan, Patriot Games, is you. So you are
based on me. That's correct.
Yes, I mean, you're the
Richard Clark.
Absolutely. So, and we'll put an image of Jack Ryan up there. So that's the guy that we're talking to right now. And so, Doctor, You just brought out that incredible information, and we're trying to scramble to find the photo. It was up on Drudge for 2 days. It's gone now. But the photo, you can go to whitehouse.gov and find it, is of the president, you know, watches with his staff the operation against bin Laden, and Hillary's got her hand over her mouth.
Yeah,
the men are all acting tough.
Yeah.
You can see that that's a posing photo, and you've been at those levels.
Right.
So break that down for us, Doctor.
Well, the breakdown is very simple. This is a man who decided he's going to have a photo opportunity. This is a man from the day he came in, it began with a lie. It began with a lie. I didn't know the man. I have nothing personally against him. I couldn't care one way or the other, but I did care. What is this man going to be as a president? If you're going to say one thing and do another, in my world, in the world of where I can say as a political operative, that's called a sociopath. That means that you say one thing, but you do everything differently. So when you look at a photograph of people looking intently as if they were amazed and bemused by an attack that may not have existed, if this was an attack and they attacked a mortuary, God bless them, because Osama bin Laden is totally dead. So there's no way they could have attacked or killed or confronted Osama bin Laden unless you believe in the resurrection of Osama bin Laden, and I don't. And if I could tell you 9 years ago. So let me break it through. You have a president, you have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, whose father was a publicist at the William Morris Agency, who is very much concerned about how he's going to leave the military as an admiral, all right? You have a president who is in deep, deep trouble, who has no idea of how to get us out of unemployment, and has a disparity between the very rich and the very poor, where no banker in the history of this country, after stealing billions of dollars and coming back to the American public and asking us for bonuses, had never been arrested for this. Yet people who have cheated on their taxes, or poor people who have not been able to get jobs, are put in prison or are waiting on welfare. So we have a president who, the day he came in, picked up the Nobel Prize for Peace, where he had done nothing, next day turns around and declares war in Afghanistan. Even Bush Jr. didn't declare war in Afghanistan. And who's in Afghanistan right now? We're talking about a man, Karzai, whom I knew, and I was there at the house 20 years ago in Maryland, when this delicatessen owner from Silver Spring was ordered to come back. He was a CIA operative, as I remembered him, and was put into a position where we have nothing but corruption, destruction, and basically the killing of our own people. Then we have the Pakistani allies, who they have now irritated, this Obama, and then we have Panetta, who's not in that picture. The most important of those men, who was ordered, this is the great key order. Obama wants to tell you how resolute he was, because everybody said he was indecisive. So in order to make sure he looks resolute, he orders Panetta, a nice liberal who had been a Republican.
Stay there, Dr. Pechenik. Stay there. Back in 3 minutes. This is key info. We'll go back to bin Laden's death and give us any more evidence of that.
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
He has written 26-plus New York Times bestsellers, stevepechenik.com. It's on record, a high-level government position under multiple presidents, under Secretary of States, involved in black ops all over the world with the Mujahideen. I want him to talk about some of that history briefly before we look at currently what's happening, because obviously to know what's coming in the future and what's happening in the present, we need to know the past. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, because the cliche rings true. But remember, this is the character that they created Jack Ryan out of in Tom Clancy's books, and that's on record. That's how respected he is, and he has a lot of courage. And I know you probably don't want to get into this now, but you did get a lot of heat when you came on my show. And I know you'll probably get heat again right now, but you're not some small fry out there saying that bin Laden was dead. And what you talked about on my show was confirmed by people in the White House, high level. And then separately, years after that, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, came out and said it. Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, said it. So when the Washington Post and everybody makes fun of us right now and has these articles out, some of them wouldn't even quote you. They just, you know, said that Jones claimed he had a source from the State Department when it was on record. The Atlantic Monthly dare not mention it. They linked to some Cheech and Chong blog that I have nothing to do with in some attempt to just mislead their readers. Jeff Goldberg, who when he wasn't a Israeli prison guard, he was running around engaged in his regular activities. So I guess Israel doesn't like what I'm doing. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not in their business. But let's go back, because this is what the media is going to be calling you about and myself about. Let's go back specifically. You've got all these intel connections. You've worked with, you know, the biggest heavy hitters there are. You're famous in intelligence and analysis. You know, the Jack Ryan's your character, the guy that doesn't play games. And in the real world, you're actually, you know, telling it like it is. 9 years ago, April 22nd, on this show, and then everything you've talked about has now been backed up in triplicate, and now we have this latest PR stunt with them, with the photo op with Hillary covering her mouth. I mean, this looks like a photo where you tell your kids, you know, smile, say cheese. Break down, sir. Take your time with the intel, with the CIA reports you were reading, with as much proof as you can give us without giving up your sources of knowing that bin Laden was dead and when he reportedly died, so that we can look at the big news story now in context of why they've launched this hoax today.
Well, let me just say the issue of why he was dead was exactly what I said before. He died of Marfan syndrome. Bush Jr. knew about it. The intelligence community knew about it. CIA had already sent a physician way before, under the Clinton administration, to see him at the American hospital in Dubai. He was already very sick from Marfan syndrome, and he was already dying. So nobody had to kill him. He had Al-Zawahiri, who was the physician with him, who is still a physician. I don't know where he is. But we knew he was already dead by 9/11. It was very clear that he was dying. At Tora Bora, he probably died. Tommy Franks, general, said accidentally that he died. But the point was, he was already dead by the time I had talked to you. Why is it relevant now? Again, as I said, why is the fiction and the narrative of the psyops of America against the American people so important? It's number one, as you said so clearly to your public, and they understand it. Number one, we're viewed as idiots and stupid, and Americans are not seen as very bright by our politicians. Secondly, basically, the president was in very deep trouble, as you said, economically, politically. He was on the bottom. He had the birther issue come out. He proved, he said he was American, but now he had to prove that he was more than American. He was more American than American. He had to be aggressive. At the same time, you had an admiral who had really not done very well as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who had made some serious gaffes by giving a Medal of Honor to Greg Mortensen, who lied, going into Pakistan saying he had built schools for women and looked like a fool. You have Panetta, who really caused a lot of civilian damage in the Pakistan area, and the Pakistanis were furious with him because what he claimed was a CIA, quite frankly, without telling you a great secret, it's already an open source intelligence. About 80% of the CIA presently is not involved in intelligence. It is involved in what's called Operation Killing, Special Ops, and that means that many of the Special Forces soldiers have been shifted over to the CIA. Well, used to be in the old office, SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, but they have a new office, and Panetta was really just killing people right and left with the drones and creating a lot of friction and a major alienation between the American the generals and the Pakistani generals, the ISI. Third, lastly, we have a foreign policy that didn't work under Hillary Clinton, as you know, like Condoleezza Rice. She probably booked in more miles than any other Secretary of State and was totally incompetent. She was not able to preempt, to really be able to figure out any strategic assessments or analysis of what happened in the Middle East. or predict the uprising in Syria, in Libya, Tunisia, and was really not able to hold out and was not confident. So you have a whole series of administrative people, both civilian and military, who were not confident. And they had to show that they could really prove some sense of competency at a time when there was a re-election. It's a really, as nature, it's the very sense of a political expediency. As to what the Washington Post says and the New York Times, I don't particularly care. I never have. I never will. It's not relevant to me. It may be relevant to you, but I don't think it's relevant to the American public. They don't read it. They don't care about it. Quite frankly, more people listen to Alex Jones than they read the New York Times. There's no question in my mind. Having said that, it was a very politically expedient factor for the president to say, I'm going to get reelected. I've shown my firmness. I've shown I'm an American. I've shown that I can turn around the economy, which he hasn't. Secretary of State Hillary can say, look, we accomplished the end of a major significant movement in the war on terrorism, which they haven't, because from a tactical and an intelligence assessment point of view, this has not changed the game whatsoever. There are no terrorists really right now in Afghanistan. The only terrorists right now are being supported by Al-Haqqa, which is supported by the Pakistani Inner Service Intelligence, what Gore said to you last night, which ironically is being supported by the CIA. And even Al-Haqqas have been reporting back to our intelligence operatives saying, what in God's name is going on? We're being paid by our own CIA, your CIA, through the ISI to kill your soldiers. Now, if you can explain that to me, you're going to have to explain that to the American public. And that's what I meant by deception and denial that's been going on for three administrations, Clinton, Bush, and this administration. It has to stop. What else has been happening? The Pakistanis are so furious, what you heard last night, that Panetta had created all these problems, and they don't like General Petraeus. By the way, I happen to like General Petraeus. I think he's been a good general. He's been quiet. He's been doing what he was ordered to do, not what he initiated to do. And we have to differentiate our military from civilian control. And that's one of the reasons why I work with our military and not the civilian government. I offer and donate my time to our military because they're the most serious institution that we have left in the United States, and they're being treated very poorly, both on the battlefield without the necessary resources and when they come back as veterans without any benefits. And now they have no mental health benefits, they have no physical benefits, and we're having the cheapest amount of labor given to these veterans who have served our country honorably. So what I'm saying to you very clearly is, this is a civilian psyops game that continues from presidency to presidency. We in the United States can no longer have two-party systems where we have a Republican and Democrat, where it really is not functioning very well. And it's costing the American public a fortune in both blood and guts and money. We've spent over $333 billion, approximately $50 million for every so-called terrorist that was taken out of Afghanistan, which were about 2,000 terrorists. Now, if you can find me 2,000 more terrorists in Pakistan, I will give you a couple of more million, because they don't exist. Karzai, the Pakistanis have worked together to make sure that we are not able to acquire any assets there. Now, what does this result to? We're not going to go to World War III, but what's happening is another form of economic warfare has entered, and that is China, who has benefited from all of what we have done, the dysfunctional behavior and the misassessment and the lack of strategy and the lack of leadership and the disasters that we have created with the drones, in our CIA so-called operations where we've killed civilians. We've alienated the Pakistanis, who in turn have invited the Chinese to come down and work with them, both militarily and economically. And what has Karzai said publicly? I don't want the Americans here because he already has raped and ripped us of about $3 billion a day, a week. And at the same time, he has asked the Chinese to come in and invest in Afghanistan. Now, that's the reality.
And by the way, Karzai's brother on record is the biggest opium dealer in Afghanistan. Now, looking at this, I talked to you earlier during the break, and you said you heard General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, on, and that you had to agree with what he said. You just alluded to that. But specifically, let's go into your history, because you know much of the entire leadership of Pakistan and Afghanistan from the Afghan war with the Russians.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. That's very kind of you. I really know them way before the Afghan war. I was involved in the major hostage situation in Washington called the Hanafi Muslim. I was brought in by Earl Silbert when 350 hostages were taken in Washington, and I was able, through 36 hours of negotiating against the orders of Carter. I actually threw out Jimmy Carter outside. So you can see I don't always acquiesce to a civilian controller president. And basically there was a very important gentleman who worked with me named Yaqub Khan. Yaqub Khan was the foreign minister of Pakistan, was our ambassador to the United States, but was the father of the Pakistani army. As a result of that, I got to know the various generals throughout his ranks, who they were, and he talked to me about Elzia, Musharraf, Benazir Bhutto, her father, what would happen. So I intimately got to know both the military elements of this incredible army that was trained under General Yaqub Khan, and a friend of mine was also the head of the Islamic Brotherhood. Believe it or not, we went to MIT together. So I knew all of these elements, and I knew they were extremely sensitive to our relationship with America. And at the time, they were useful in the fight against the Soviet Union. But at the same time, I was clearly warned very early on that they would turn against us and basically have a blowback, which you've talked about in the past. So using Yaqub Khan, I knew exactly where the elements were, the concerns they had about the CIA continuously supporting the Interservice Intelligence Agency, the fact that the ISI was getting out of control, was no longer under military or civilian control in Pakistan, and was beginning to form their own so-called groups, or we call terrorist groups, as a forefront to making sure that Pakistan had a ancillary army, or basically an auxiliary army or paramilitary unit that could fight against India. And one of the things your audience has to understand, Pakistan's greatest obsession right now is not with the Taliban or Haqqa. Those are the groups that they support even till today.
It's with India.
I'm sorry, it's with India. That is correct, Alex. India is their greatest obsession. And I would speak to the general and other Pakistani officials and explain to them, look, India is not an issue for you. India is twice the size you are. They have twice the number of nuclear warheads. You have 600,000 soldiers. At that time, they had 2.2 million. Kashmir is not an issue. Nevertheless, India, Pakistan to this day has felt very strongly that India is sending down operatives through the Chinese and other Soviets into Afghanistan and are using those operatives in order to get a possession into Afghanistan. And at the same time, Pakistan feels that India is infiltrating the Kashmir. So there's a whole other scenario which we have not been able to handle. When Richard Holbrooke was brought in as the envoy to the South Asia, he was told you can handle anything you want, but you will not touch Pakistan and India or Kashmir. That was cut out. So from a foreign policy point of view, we have never had the strong hand or the foresight of, let's say, whatever you think of Kissinger or Baker, who could very forcefully say, no, that's not going to happen. Or we had the strategic sense under various other presidents where we knew exactly where we wanted to go. Like Bush Sr. said, we're not going into Iraq. It wasn't a question. He was afraid of Saddam Hussein, or he wasn't, or it was unfinished work. Bush Sr. was brilliant in foreign policy. We had taken down the Soviet Union quietly. We had taken down East Germany quietly. We had taken down apartheid quietly. And we had taken down Debussan, a whole bunch of other countries. Not one word was said. When his son came in, he said, I don't listen to my father. We said, good God, what an incredibly incompetent, arrogant individual. Yet his father never said a word. So when you have a man like Bush Sr. who's able to control and direct both the intelligence community, the CIA, under whom Bob Gates, who is an excellent Secretary of Defense, and I'm sorry to see him go because I think that's a great loss to our country. He has really tried to control and direct our Defense Department in the right way and cut back programs that were not necessary, the F-22, the stealth, and really provide our special forces with the necessary equipment they needed, we're going to lose a very valuable man. In turn, I have very big questions about Panetta and his capabilities. I do not think he performed well at the CIA. I think he exacerbated a very serious situation with the Pakistanis. And I think General Petraeus will have a hard time because It's a military man coming into a civilian organization, which General Eisenhower once said about the CIA, you need a certain kind of genius to run that organization. So right now, what's happening is civilian control, which is both untutored, undisciplined, and without a history of any military or intelligence expertise, is now going forward. There's one more reason why Osama bin Laden came out of the dead, so to speak, the resurrection, or the PSYOP's resurrection of Osama bin Laden. And that is, for the first time, you've heard people like Clapper and the director of the National Intelligence Organizations and say that the Center for Counterterrorism and all the intelligence organizations, which amount to God knows how many now, have really worked together and effectively. So it's a justification to say that under Obama, we have really integrated our intelligence community so that we effectively can kill, and that we're able to kill, a dead man, in my opinion, that Osama bin Laden was dead.
All right, let me ask you this question. Sir, and again, if you've just joined us, Dr. Steve Pachinik, stevepachinik.com, the man that Tom Clancy's novels are based on, author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. He was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and or Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik is also, as you heard, a medical doctor, continues to consult to the Department of Defense, is also a Council on Foreign Relations Fellow. You heard him. And he said it 9 years ago that they would do this. This is the PSYOP resurrection of Osama bin Laden. We'll find out exactly why. It isn't just about the re-election of... And that's what bin Laden is. He knows your anger. He knows your pain. He's that 6'4" boogeyman with a scary turban and the beard and the evil eye. And now we've had a victory. Man, America's coming together. Yeah, as the gas prices explode, as all of this tyranny unfolds, as, the Chinese are dumping more treasuries. They're talking about the U.S. losing its AAA rating. That's back in the news today. They say when they switch it, it may go to a C grade. That's CNBC. This is the country going into cardiac arrest, but we've got the royal wedding. We've got the bin Laden situation. And here is a very high-powered author, researcher, State Department, a former official, CFR fellow, breaking everything down, breaking ranks with the establishment to warn you. Now, larger than just Obama, sir, and the re-election, I mean, that's all scripted, that's clear. Why else are they doing this? Because we see the frame-up now of Pakistan going into high gear saying bin Laden was at this house.
Well, one of the reasons they're doing it so that they basically can pull out of Pakistan, they can try to leave Afghanistan and Iraq with the sense that there was a victory. There is no victory because there was no clear designation as to what the war would accomplish. We have no idea what the war accomplished other than 10 years of wasted bodies and brave men and women and $333 billion a year. Secondly, we've now have a very serious economic issue with unemployment still up, exceedingly high, much higher than the designations. We have a banking crisis that hasn't been resolved. In 3 years, we've had banks after banks, Chase, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan and Chase, Bank of America, all of them have committed crimes beyond the reason of the doubt. If you look at the Banking Commission report that's done by our own federal government, they indict them. And there's basically no attention to them, and nobody has even been prosecuted. And Obama went back to them yesterday and asked them for more money. They're going to raise a billion. We're also in a position where we are not doing very well in the international arena. We have literally lost our basic strategic superpower position. Although we have a large army, we're basically in the same position that the British military was in the 1900s, a very large army without a strategy, without a cause, and without a country. I often said to our military, we have an army without a country, and I say to our country that we have a country without a military, because right now it's costing us a fortune. We have no benefits derived from it. There are no enemies that we have. other than the internal security of our country, which depends really on the debt, as you clearly said, and our financial growth, which is very low, 2-3%, and the fact that our bond ratings will be downgraded perhaps to a C or whatever the levels are. We have further problems. We have the notion that a system is not working, and that's what I keep coming back to since I said 10 years ago when we had Bush Jr., now we have Obama. We elect people who are basically panderers without any history of accomplishment, without any history of success, other than the fact that they pandered their way and agreed to acquiesce to anybody who's giving them money or power and represent other interests. Now, I'm not degrading anybody. I've treated politicians, and I've worked with them. But basically, the notion of a politician servicing the United States of American needs is absurd. We don't need these people anymore, and if we don't, if we think we do, then we're mistaken, because we're going to keep going on from administration to administration, from lie to lie, and from incompetence to incompetence. All of these people are reshuffled again. You have Panetta, who was in the Clinton administration, was not a great performer, now coming in from the CIA, where he was dysfunctional, to now heading up the Secretary of Defense.
Stay there. We've got the real live Patriot Games, Jack Ryan, Dr. Steve Pachinik, going into overdrive. Stand by. Infowars.com. Now into the fourth hour. We're going to take your phone calls later in the hour. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Steve Pachinik, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. But please focus serious questions about the whole Osama bin Laden garbage. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Doctor, talking, at the end of the break, I was asking there, what is the goal? We know it's a re-election kickoff. We can see the scripting, the choreographing, the ridiculous, we threw bin Laden in the ocean, the 6 years he's in Pakistan. Obviously, they want to start framing Pakistan, putting pressure on them. They caught the CIA guy reportedly with the uranium, trying to get it to militants as some type of, way to put pressure on Pakistan's nuclear program. But what are the other reasons for them doing this? Because I'm scanning the news here while we're live, and 48 hours into this, it's completely turning around against them, and hoax, 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 hoax is the byword. They're on Facebook everywhere trying to block and ban people like I've never seen on their own Facebook saying it's a hoax. It looks like a rout is beginning. And folks, I don't just say things like a cheerleader. I'm telling you now, this looks like a rout of this hoax. That's why they're now saying they're going to try to release a real photo. Dr. Pachinik.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Alex. One of the things that I think the politicians never calculated on is that the American public is a lot smarter than the politicians. Let me repeat that again. I think we, the American people, are a lot smarter. We could smell a psyops operation. We could smell the fake. We could smell when it's orchestrated. And this is orchestrated. I mean, when you have people sitting around and watching a sitcom, basically the operations center in the White House, and you have a president coming out almost zombie-like telling you that they just killed Osama bin Laden, who was already dead 9 years ago. And people are aware of shows like yours, quite frankly. Alex, you've been a very important part of inserting the truth in a time when most media was really going to the common denominator and the lowest. The fortunate part is that thank God for the alternative media and thank God for the American public. They're a lot smarter. And the world public's a lot smarter. I understand that you're listened to in the Middle East by millions of people. You've offered them a lot of facts. There's nothing that you really said that I didn't agree with 9 years ago. And when I said to you, Osama bin Laden's dead because they need to get out of there, they need to have a conclusion where the president's getting reelected, all the issues we talked about, now the American public is saying, we're tired. We're sick and tired of the nonsense that was given to us by Clinton, by Bush, and certainly now by Obama. We want jobs. We want to manufacture. We don't want to be overseas. We want to develop our own country. We want to know that we can be proud of what we've done and forget the rest of the world where we're making up wars that don't exist and terrorists who never were. And the TSA, as you said, who's reaching down to your pants and are not really required. I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. So the answer is, one issue that's very important is that the American public has to understand these people are not smarter than the American public. They're just not. They may believe they're smart. If you look at the background of Osama bin Laden, he did not do very well in school. he was at two-year college, which was not very good. He didn't do that well in Columbia, and I think he got into Harvard on affirmative action. But the real issue is, and his own wife was in on affirmative action, I think the real issue is if we have the same benefits that he had, I think we would have achieved so-called elite status. But the bottom line is very simple. The American public is a lot smarter. Anybody who has to work on a day-to-day basis, whether I'm in Montana or on the East Coast, you've got a farm. You've got to build, you have a mechanic shop. You're a trucker. You've got to figure out exactly what the cost of goods are, what the profit margins are, and how you can pay your income. These guys in Congress and the Senate have never had to do that. If you look at the benefits of what they have, and you look at the White House benefits of what they have, we basically have a royalty and a kingship. We didn't have a wedding in England. What we had was a marriage of the absurd and the psyops here in America when Bin Laden was just resurrected in this greatest falsehood I've ever heard. I mean, it was absurd.
Stay there, Dr. Pachinik. The real live Jack Ryan of the Patriot Games with us now. We'll be right back to continue breaking this down. Who knows? We'll just keep him the whole hour if he can do it and take your phone calls. We've got a lot more to talk about breaking this down. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Steve Pachinik is a board-certified psychiatrist. That's the medical doctor end of the whole system. And he was a psychological warfare expert chief brought in by the Pentagon against the Russians, you name it. He is the character that Jack Ryan and others, Tom Clancy, is based on. That's on record from Tom Clancy. He himself is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers and the advisor on many of Clancy's books. You can see all of that at stevepachinik.com. So folks always wonder why Tom Clancy knows so many inside things that ended up happening later. Here's one of his chief guys giving him the intel. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you are an interesting person, and it also goes to credibility. You know, here you are 9 years ago and change, 9 years and a month, April 22nd, 2002, and you say, he died of this disease. I saw it in the CIA documents, the disease he had. This is the word. I have this from inside sources. You're a CFR fellow at the time. You've worked under James Baker, George Shultz, Cyrus Vance, Henry Kissinger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, and senior policy planner under those secretaries.
Right.
And here you are saying Bin Laden's dead, and he's on ice to be rolled out later. Then two other White House sources tell me the same thing years later. Then Albright comes out on Fox. All these other things happen. And, I mean, it's important for folks to hear some of your background to understand that now we're here. We're living it. We're seeing it. And then before we go to some calls, I want you to specifically again, because you keep saying, well, you know, they're not as smart as you think they are, why they're doing it, why they think they came out with this ridiculous Bin Laden announcement that's so cartoonish that is blowing up in their face. The foreign media, the domestic, it is just overwhelming, the inconsistencies. Even the Washington Post and others are like, well, they're conspiracy theorists, but it is weird that they threw him in the ocean. It is weird there were fake photos. It is weird they claim they killed him 8 other times. I was talking to the Washington Post lady, and she was like, everybody in the office doesn't believe it. And she was giggling, and I said, do you understand this isn't funny? They lied about WMDs. They lied about it all. We're in a very serious time. But tell folks a little bit about yourself. I mean, give us a snapshot of your career.
Very quickly, I went to Harvard and MIT at the same time, not because I was so smart, but because Harvard wasn't as good as I thought it was. I got a psychiatric degree at Harvard and a PhD international affairs under Lucian Pai. I was trained in psychological warfare, propaganda, counterintelligence, counterterrorism. I went right into the State Department working for Lawrence Eagleburger and became the head of the Office of Combat Terrorism. I created that. I worked against Arafat as a terrorist, and then years later I worked with Arafat as a statesman. So one of the things you have to remember in the world of terrorism, that today's terrorist is tomorrow's statesman. That was true of Menachem Begin. That was true of many of the terrorists that we worked with and now became statesmen. It was true of our own founding fathers who were created as terrorists and now come out as statesmen. I then went on to remain in the Carter administration, where I was involved in the regime change of Aldo Moro. I neutralized the Red Brigade, the T2 scandal. I indicted Berlusconi then. I'm sorry he ever came back. I left under Carter. I resigned, refused to go to Iran because I had Ramsey Clark there, and I thought it would be a disaster. I went on then to create businesses. My real love, and this country's great love, why I feel I'm a very strong American, is that I am an entrepreneur. I am what we call an angel investor. I use my own money to create businesses and start them up and build them. Not because it's the money. I'm more than happy to lose the money. It's because only in America can I do what I've done all the time, which is be able to create a business like radio frequency identification, the Tom Clancy franchises, the TV shows, even radio shows. And now I'm doing nutraceuticals and I'm doing orphan drugs. And be able to succeed or fail, not by definition of money, but by definition of criteria that we built assets. I was not interested in pushing papers or money back and forth, but I was interested in serving my country, which I really served for free and not most of the time. I was promoted to colonel at a very early age of 32. I refused promotion to general, brigadier general at 37, because I felt not that I wanted to be in the Army, but I felt I could serve my country best by going back out into public service and into private service and then offer my services for free, make my money outside on my own, and then come back and serve my country through the military and other organizations and be able to go overseas for our country and offer strategic advice if they listen to it. If not, I came back under Reagan and worked on the Soviet Union. I was out at the RAND Corporation for a year under a man called Richard Solomon, who brought me in to say develop the Soviet takedown, the psychological operation we were involved. Bush Sr. was really, under Reagan, the really impetus for the takedown of the Soviet Union, East Germany. I then came back under Bush Sr. and I was involved in the bringing the peace treaty under James Baker to bring a regime change under Pol Pot without using any wars, without using any soldiers. My point is, most of the things that I've done, and I've done a lot in the Middle East against Hamas, Hawatme, even in the Gaza Strip where I worked with the PLO, against the PLO, and where, ironically, and this will be a soft spot for the Israelis, in 88 I was sent out by Schultz to find out what was going on with the PLO, and I found out that the Shin Bet of Israel in 88 was creating a group called Hamas, which was used as a counterforce to the PLO, and of course, eventually everybody learned that Hamas had a blowback, and now the Israelis have created their own Frankenstein. The point being that we are not the only country in the world to create our own Frankensteins through Al-Qaeda, which was really the Mujahideen before. I was involved with that under the Carter administration, subsequently another administration, but so was Israel involved in creating
Hamas. Did you ever interrupt, Doctor? Did you ever meet Osama bin Laden?
Yes, I saw him in Afghanistan very briefly, but I was more involved with other operational concerns, particularly the Pakistanis.
What was his role in the war against the Russians, and what was he like when you did meet him?
Well, I didn't know him very well. Basically, I knew he was sick at the time. I knew he had renal disease, and I knew he had Marfan. So you could see that. But basically, the guys who were CIA operatives said he had a supportive role there, and he was financing most of the elements there. My interest was really more strategic.
Yeah, he was more of the Saudi Arabians' man in the field with the money delivery?
Correct. That was the understanding. That's exactly correct. He was not, from my point of view, he was not the keystone of the operations there. That really was a CIA operation. Most people think I worked with the CIA. I was not in the CIA, but that's neither here nor there. Even though I was a member of the CFR, I'm also a member of the Association of Foreign Intelligence Officer and National Military Intelligence Association. So all these associations may mean something to you, may not, but I'm primarily an American.
No, I understand. And it must be horrifying for you, Doctor, to know that like the royal wedding, worshiping people that, you know, who hereditarily got their power, who you have to get a, you know, imperial mark in the past to be able to even have a business. Our forefathers and mothers came here to be able to build their own businesses, follow their own dreams. And now we see Obama giving thousands of waivers to select corporations that give him money. General Electric heads up his economic board. They get waivers for their coal plants and then shut down their competition. We're really entering this crony monopoly system. That's got to be horrifying for you.
Well, it's more than horrifying. It's called crony capitalism, and the banking episode was really beyond the pale for me. I was totally shocked, disgusted, and I was waiting for people to get indicted, and I still hope people will be indicted. Crony capitalism cannot work, whether it's with Republicans, Democrats, or independents. It cannot work. We have to stop it as Americans. This must stop in this administration and any future administrations. And please do not believe any politicians who come to you and tell you they believe in something, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they're all full of BS, because all they care about is their own narcissism, their own desire for power. Very few people are really interested in serving the government, and then they would leave without pay. I really have never found any of these people, except in my case, I found Bush Sr., I found Baker, who really didn't need money, even Vance on both sides. But most people that I knew were very power hungry. In this administration, you have a president who's totally incapable of telling the truth.
Well, what about those narcissistic photos with them all posing? I mean, you can see they did it over and over again until they got it. But shifting gears back to this key issue, there you are, this guy high level in these Republican administrations, the son of someone you say you admire and who, from your perspective, is a good guy, obviously hardworking and intelligent, George Herbert Walker Bush, any way you slice it, when he didn't become the CIA director, you know, out of whole cloth, folks.
You know why he became CIA director? Even Jeb Bush didn't know that. He became CIA director because Donald Rumsfeld wanted to neutralize him from running for the presidency. And for 20 years, most people don't realize, either Cheney or Rumsfeld were allowed in the White House because they tried to neutralize the future of this quiet man who never, never promoted himself. I remember his saying to me and others that I'd never speak about myself because my mother wouldn't let me. Do you believe that?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because it's actually come out that George W. did bring in Cheney and Rumsfeld because of that split, and that's then later when Baker and them were sent back in to kind of shut down what they were doing.
That was one of the reasons why I got on the phone in the middle when I was in Montana, and I told Baker, I called him up, I said, what in God's name are you doing sending out the chairman of the Republican Party, who was very bizarre and unusual in his orientations and talking about abortion? And I said, get rid of these guys. And what are you doing with Cheney and Rumsfeld? I mean, these guys were persona non grata for 20 years in our administration. So basically, you have to understand within the American public has to understand that even under Bush Jr., we had basically a quiet civil war that was going on between his father's people, who are non-ideological, and those who try to implement ideology and their own narcissism. What we have now is a very narcissistic, incompetent president with a very dysfunctional White House and a dysfunctional intelligence community.
Well, that was my next question, Dr. Pechenik, from your perspective, was why did you in 2002 come on my show to talk about this bin Laden being in the deep freeze and to question 9/11? We're going to come back, talk about that, and then we're going to go to your phone calls with Dr. Steve Pechenik. What incredible info. But he told you this bin Laden thing's a fraud.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
You know what I can't believe? Just the providence of this radio show, because I'm just an average guy who started reading history books when I was 12 and thought they were interesting and entertaining. And reading history, I learned so much about how the world works today. And then I talked to the general public, who many of them are informed and have street smarts. But if they would really start researching, they would find out how much they're being lied to, and that the culture is getting more and more entitled in Washington. The corporations that have grown up around it, the crony system, are so out of control. Your phone calls for Dr. Steve Pechenik are coming up in the next segment, and hopefully we can get him back up in the very near future. And I keep asking him this question, and he's answered it in many ways. But just boiling it down in a language that the mainstream media can understand and government can understand, why would they do something that is so cartoonishly satirical, where And I'm not just saying this to make it come true, because I was pretty depressed yesterday, but now the tables are turning. It is exploding in their face. I mean, it's almost more scary, Doctor, that you're probably right, that they have the power, they have the control, so they're able to do what they want. They think they're smart, but at the end of the day, they're making a lot of things that look like big mistakes as the Republic slides towards collapse. So why? During the break, I said, so you're saying they just did this to make Obama look good? And you said, no, to make him survive.
It's about the word that you want to use right now, the key word that it did all of this PSYOPS resurrection of Osama bin Laden, which is a joke and a sick joke and a cynical joke on the American public, treating them as if we were stupid, is desperation. They are so desperate to make Obama viable, to negate the fact that he may not have been born here, any questions about his backgrounds, any irregularities about his backgrounds, to make him look assertive, to make sure that Gates goes out in a clean sweep and that he's done what he's done. This is a good man, Gates, and bringing in a man who is questionably qualified to be Secretary of Defense, who is questionably qualified to be CIA Director Panetta, to bring in a whole other staff that really has not been very effective, and to reelect this president again so the American public can be duped once again after we've been duped by Bush Jr. and Clinton. The point is, they've underestimated the American public. Again, you can thank David Axelrod of the White House, this very self-aggrandizing, very pretentious man who thinks he understands the American public as he polls them every minute. And basically what we have here is a desperate situation on behalf of an incompetent president who's not told the truth, who hopes to be reelected because he has nothing to offer but words, which are totally meaningless, mm-hmm. and will hopefully get forth. On the other hand, let me warn you that the Republicans and other parties have no candidates that are capable of filling the role that America needs today, which is a pragmatic, non-narcissistic, non-egoistic, practical man or woman who has served our country on behalf of our country, hopefully in the military, hopefully in business, and hopefully has had a clean history and can understand where we're going strategically and tactically. That has not happened in the past 24 years. That's basically where we are today, in desperation with capital cronyism, corruption, and non-transparency. What we need now is Tahrir Square in Washington, D.C., and all over the country where people will go.
We're going to talk about that when we come back and then take calls. But in the minute or two we have left in this short segment, why did you go public in 2002 with something at the time, you know, that sounded a little bit wild to some people, but I knew it had a historical basis, and say
everybody who has accused me of making wild statements regretted it 10 years later. Aldo Moro did, Pol Pot did, Noriega, all regretted the fact when I said to them, you're leaving and you're not staying, they were gone. The reason I came forth and I said, I warned Bush Jr. and Cheney and Rumsfeld, you will pay for the crimes you've committed against the American public, and part of that is this nonsense of Osama bin Laden being the leader of some nonsensical group that we created under the Carter administration, was fostered through tens of years and going into Pakistan through the nonsensical war that didn't exist to allow men and women to die.
Are you bottom line saying they ran the attacks or they hired some criminal group to do it?
No. They ran the attacks. The 9/11 is a total manufacture of one organization, the White House under Bush Jr. Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld.
Unbelievable. Bradley, what? Stay there, sir. Stay there.
Tony Halazad, Elliot Abrams, now at the CFR.
Stay there, repeat that.
I'm happy to confront them.
Stay there. Let's come back and repeat that because the music was playing. This is absolutely devastating. Dr. Steve Pachenik's got major credibility, and he is going all the way today, putting it on the table. This is off the charts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, the email, the tweets, the phone calls are pouring in. Listeners are just completely amazed by the interview. I really appreciate Dr. Steve Pachinik spending so much time with us. I'll obviously have to get him back in the near future. And I want to go to some of your phone calls. But I was going back to 2002 when he went public. Then he was saying, I have questions about 9/11. You know, there are issues with this. We created these groups. Now, as we went to break, he was laying it all out and naming names. Dr. Pachinik, again, who served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and or Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. That's three of the most famous kingmakers of the last 100 years right there. Dr. Pachinik continues to consult to the Department of Defense, ran black ops, major operations, overthrows of governments, you name it, stevepachinik.com. He is, of course, on record. Tom Clancy helped Tom Clancy write his 26 best-selling New York Times bestsellers with his advice. Several of the characters, like Jack Ryan, are based on him, as well as Richard Clark. And Dr. Pachinik, uninterrupted by the break, take your time. What was the event of 9/11, A, and B, why was it carried out?
The event of 9/11 was carried out for one purpose. It was carried out to mobilize the American public to go to a war that they didn't need to go to, that they knew nothing about, where we had pre-positioned soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq 6 to 9 months beforehand. And what it was done, it was based on Paul Wolfowitz's, Richard Cheney, Dick Cheney, Bush Jr., Steve Hadley, Elliot Abrams in the White House, Salmi Khalilzad, Dennis Ross, who's now our Stell envoy, who's never been held accountable. You have Condoleezza Rice. You have all the people who were in the military, particularly the Air Force generals who were involved. They can deny it any much they want, but I have a whole list of names. They know who they are. And the intel, the CIA operatives who worked under SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, were all involved in what's called a stand-down, a false flag operation in order to mobilize the American public on the false pretense that we were attacked by Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, which was an absolute unmitigated lie. It was told to me even by the general on the staff of Wolfowitz, I will go in front of a federal committee and swear on perjury who the name was of the individual so that we could break it open. I was furious. I knew it had happened. I taught stand down and false flag operations at the National War College. I taught it with all my operatives, so I knew exactly what was done to the American public. Believe it or not, I had worked on George Bush Jr.'s campaign with Bob Zelig, not with the Vulcans, but with Bob Zelig in order to work against Gore, which I regret today because I had been loyal to his father. And that issue of Osama bin Laden who had already been dead really brought up the issue of the great lie and the great war that was created for us to make sure that we had some type of commitment to a war that was not necessary, where blood and guts were shed for unnecessary reasons for men and women.
Dr. Pachinik, I've got to stop because this is so dangerous. I believe this is the first time you've gone this far. And when the D.C. madam was on my show and she was trying to tell me during the break names of people, and I said, I don't want to know this. You've got to go public with this or you're going to end up, you know, committing arsonicide. And obviously you're a tough guy. You're not worried about that. But I mean,
I don't think so.
Well, do you want to go ahead?
Who I mentioned understands that we all have a mutual, let's say, a mutual deterrent relationship. It's not going to be to their benefit.
No, I understand, but I mean, you don't want to say the name of the general.
The general who swore to me? I will do that in the federal court so that we can unravel this legally, not with the stupid 9/11 commission. That was absurd. That was the most absurd thing I'd heard. That's why I came on your show, Alex. One of the reasons when I went on the shows like Chris Matthews, CNN, all of that nonsense, because they wanted me to say certain things, and Matthews had no idea what we were talking about. And going to Iraq at the time, you had all these anchor men and basically pretty boys up there.
Yeah, I've met some of these people. They are like children. I'm not even saying I'm...
They're children. They had no idea whether I was a deputy assistant secretary or what that meant. All they wanted me to do was to give sound bites, and I said I refused. Then they asked, basically, so I found you by chance, and I said, you know what? I heard your show. I thought you were extremely bright. This is not flattery, as we talked about. And I was more than grateful to be on your show. When I went on your show and I told you Osama bin Laden was dead in 2002, I wasn't hypothesizing. I knew it because he had Marfan syndrome. I knew the CIA had investigated, had treated him in a Dubai hospital, an American hospital. They can deny anything they want. That's all they do. They run around creating problems.
By the way, after you said that, Dan Rather did a report on it and interviewed the people at the hospital who saw it.
Oh, they did. I didn't even see that with Dan Rather. But my point is, you still maintained your credibility, and because 10 years later, 9 years later, you mentioned my name, I was stunned. I had no idea because I was working on another company. I'm basically an entrepreneur who volunteers my time for the military to help them out. And basically, as an American, I said, I'm sick of this. And I went back on your show to say, this is disgusting. This Osama bin Laden issue, again, keystones the issue about an incompetent, dysfunctional administration that is lying once again to the American public. We can't continue this. This is why I went on your show. I don't care whether Obama's desperate or he's incompetent or he's narcissistic. I care that he does not get reelected. I care that the Republicans don't get reelected. I care that the American people stand up once again and say we've had enough of this bullshit with all these politicians on the Republican and Democratic side, the capital cronyism, the entire incompetency, the transnational corporations. And believe me, I don't come from the left or the right. You don't serve Nixon, Reagan, and Bush and come out with these comments. I'm not losing friends, and I'm not making friends. I don't really care about those things. I do care that as an American, don't mess with me. You can imagine the real word I wanted to use.
No, I understand. Did you hear my story about...
Don't mess with any of my people in America. That's it. And the politicians think that they can mess with...
You're not their slave, and you hate seeing America being gutted by crony capitalists.
You got it. Not only crony capitalists, but despicable lies and manipulation.
Did you hear my story about Lionel Chetwin, the White House media head for propaganda?
Oh, that's absurd. I mean, it's absurd. You need a White House. Think about it for a moment, Alex George. You need somebody to come out and talk, to say, to interpret to a bunch of what? Sycophants and reporters in the day of the Internet? What do you have reporters there for? To translate on a piece of paper what you were taking? I mean, think of the notion of the newspaper now. It makes no sense, Alex.
Well,
it's an arcane concept.
My point is they all think they're a bunch of gangsters because there I am about to go on a TV show. I'm in the bathroom. Here comes Lionel Chetwin, who made the made-for-TV movie about Bush being a hero on 9/11. And he came over like a gangster and started getting in my face going, we're going to effing get you. And as soon as I bowed up to him, he almost urinated on himself and ran out of the room. I'm saying these are the type of people. I mean, if you're going to threaten somebody in a bathroom, you better be ready. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got it, but they're not. Most of the politicians are cowardly. In the terms of the dynamics, I'm now speaking as somebody who's a political psychiatrist and treated many of them. They're very insecure, very, very cowardly. They have the same dynamics of movie stars and actresses. They want to say to you, love me, love me. I want more and more and more affection. They cannot perform. They cannot produce. They have no capability to finish anything that they've started. They've never been held accountable. It is not an accident. For the past three presidents, we have had people who have never had a mortgage, who have never been able to have a job. Clinton left the White House, said, oh, poor me, I have no money. A year later, he's $100 million supporting Dubai, bringing in a port, while Hillary Clinton comes in and say, oh, no, we shouldn't have a port. George Bush Jr. says, I'm going to go to Texas and start a oil company. Unfortunately, his father started when it had to hand it in, and he screwed that one up. Now you have an organizer in the ghettos of Chicago who has done nothing, absolutely nothing, has never really held a job, has never been, but perhaps he's given a few lectures as a professor. God only knows he was, what, at Harvard, and everybody thinks that's a great position. And somehow, mysteriously, from the most crooked city in this country, Chicago, we get a president. How is that possible? With Rahm Emanuel, who has a master's degree in ballet. Now, that is really impressive to me.
And we know what that really means. He has a master's degree in...
chief of staff for a man who's never been in the presidency And it really was shocking. And then he talks about and then under Bush Jr., we have a major crisis in the banking system. He doesn't know what to do. He brings in Paulson, who had no idea what he was doing, because I was a banker, by the way. One of my positions was as managing director of investment bank, taking it down for 6 months and left Wall Street. It was so disgusting. And I knew Paulson had no idea. And when I talked to the congressman, I said, listen, guys, you don't have a banker there. They have no idea what they're doing. Lo and behold, that whole thing unfolded, and now we have such a crippled banking...
Well, sir, you like Petraeus, and I respect that, but it was also Henry Paulson repeatedly did collapse in closed sessions two different days. Petraeus collapsed. What's all this collapsing business?
Basically, I don't know about Paulson collapse. Petraeus, it's public. He has cancer of the prostate. That's not classified.
Oh, really? Oh, so he's been having...
He's not a well man. He's also a man who overreaches. But Paulson, I would not say, is the hero of this country.
No, I understand. I understand working too hard and then collapsing. No,
Petraeus, I think, has had an illness which was not classified. He has had cancer of the prostate. I assume he's better, but he's worked very hard. But the issue with Paulson is that man was incompetent. He's an investment banker. He has nothing to do with cash flow, fiscal policy. Then you had Greenspan, who told you he was doing a wonderful job, and he put the foot, the accelerator to the pedal, and boy, we went right over the abyss. And then he comes back and says, oh, no, that was a minor incident. Derivatives were really okay. Very effective.
Let me throw a few more questions in for you, and we'll take a few calls. Yeah. This is unbelievable, Dr. Pechenik, stevepechenik.com. The anthrax attacks, you know, they said it was brewed in a bathtub. Later they admitted super U.S. weapons grade, miniaturized, hundreds of millions of dollars of equipment needed. What was the anthrax attack?
I really don't know. That one I have to bow out. I don't know, you know, what that was bad, but, you know.
What's your intel on Obama and why they've been suppressing so many of his records? What are you picking up on that?
You know what? At this particular point in time, I think it's best that your audience figure out what the history of Obama was in Chicago. I really don't want to get into the birthing thing. I think that's been discussed. But there are other issues, and I think it's best that this country do its own homework. You have a very intelligent audience, and I think they should find out about themselves. What he did in Chicago, what's his relationship to Rahm Emanuel, why was Rahm Emanuel brought in, and why is he now mayor of Chicago? Masters in ballet, who had no other profession.
All right, we got it. So it looks like Emanuel's blackmailing Obama somehow with the fact that they like to...
I didn't say that. I just want your audience to do their due diligence as you have. I want them to follow you and what you said, and that is to be in educated, self-educated, and informed.
We know all about male ballet dancers. We'll just leave it at that. Statistically,
well, it's not a ballet dancer. This is a master in ballet dance, so it's beyond a ballet dancer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are occasional black sheep who are male ballet dancers.
I don't know about that. All I know is his brother. One brother's an agent in Hollywood, and his other brother, quote, is a physician at the NIH.
Well, what about their family connections to Irgun? In Israel,
his father was in the Irgun Feiluni. That is true. His father was a pediatrician and was part of a terrorist gang. He himself, I think, served in the IDF for a period of time.
Unbelievable, sir. In the last 12 minutes we have, let's take some phone calls. I'll try to take more calls, folks, but this has been unbelievable. Anything else about the inside job that was 9/11? I mean, you're saying you've talked to high-level U.S. government officials, military...
The inside job is that nobody has been held accountable. Tenet should never have received an award. He should have been put on trial. Bush should have been put on trial. Cheney should be put on trial, as Rumsfeld. Instead, they all received books. Condoleezza should be put on trial and investigated under perjury, on charges of perjury and war crime. It's as simple as that.
By the way, ABC News did report that
people, Elliot Abrams, you've got Wolfowitz out there, and you've got a lot of potential criminals. If this country doesn't come to its resolution, instead of creating this nonsense that we have a war and we have heroes and we do have victims, we have to stop this. Otherwise, we can't go forward.
Well, it was in ABC News that top military brass a week before canceled their September 11th flight to New York. Mayor Willie Brown, San Francisco Chronicle, this was confirmed, called Condoleezza. No, she called him and said, don't fly to New York. I mean, these guys are just red-handed caught, then lying about never hearing chatter about flying planes into buildings. When on record, they ordered FBI agents nationwide who were on the trail of the legend they were building, the fake decoy history, and they were and they demoted or fired those agents and gave record bonuses to the FBI bosses who blocked the FBI trying to stop the attacks. I mean, and it goes on and on and on and on.
You know, it's time, again, that I say we have our own Tahrir Square. The young kids of Egypt went forth and did what they did. America needs a second revolution. That second revolution has to entail the peaceful means by which we can get rid of this type of capital cronyism, corruption, and criminal activity. It's, again, we were born of a revolution, a real revolution. We fought England twice, not once, but twice. And we need to now understand that our government has no longer served the people, for the people, by the people. And that's why I came back on your show. I was so disgusted to hear this nonsense about Osama bin Laden being resurrected and that they had shot him unless they attacked a mortuary. I have no idea what this nonsense was. But the point is, it underlied another cancerous administration with lies, deceits, betrayal, including the Republicans and Democrats and the legislation. I'm not, you know, a right-winger. I'm not a conspiracist. I trained at Harvard, MIT. I've been under five presidencies. So no matter what the press tells you, no matter what they'll say, Alex Jones had the courage enough to put me on the air, and I had the gall enough to go on the air, which is, by the way, not unusual for me because I told some presidents to leave, go screw yourself, but because I save lives. My job isn't to take down countries only. It's to save hostages. I saved many hundreds of hostages' lives. Now, I was so disgusted, I went back on your show to thank you for allowing me to address your incredible public.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Pashenika.
For that moment that they, this is enough, and that's all I want to say.
Wow. Well, let's jam some calls in here. This is an unbelievable interview, ladies and gentlemen. It's all of our job to get this interview on the podcast and the YouTubes and the audio of it out to everybody. Let's talk to Alex in Michigan. You're on the air, Alex. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Jones and Dr. Pashenik. My question for you, Doctor, is that when we deal with this, as you aptly put, this nonsense with Osama bin Laden allegedly being captured and killed, this operation was allegedly authorized and carried out a couple of weeks ago in April. So why did Obama wait that long a time and then announce this out of all places Sunday night at 10:30? And my second part of the question to that is, if we go back a week ago, after bin Laden would have supposedly been killed, we see the shuffle with Panetta and Petraeus into the Defense Department and CIA. What does all of this mean? What is the purpose of waiting?
Well, it's a very good question. The timing, I can speculate. Basically, they did it so late so that nobody could comment on it. The reason for the timing and now at this particular point in time is Gates is leaving, and Panetta had to establish some credibility where he had none before. The Pakistanis were extremely angry that he had killed many civilians, which he had. Also, if you remember correctly, 2 years ago, he had made a major mess where CIA operatives were killed because there was no clearance. Secondly, you have to remember now, the CIA is not the CIA of the Cold War or the people, the brave people I worked with in the 80s and 90s. This is a very different CIA now. 80% of the CIA right now are contract employees. Listen to what I'm saying. That means they're mercenaries. We have primarily mercenaries underneath Panetta. Panetta is not an intel operative. He's basically, I've got to give him his credit, he's a budget man. And the reason they're moving him to the state of the Defense Department now is Gates is leaving because Gates was an excellent Secretary of Defense.
But don't mercenaries open you up to total infiltration?
Oh, yeah, because you don't know who they're loyal to, only one thing, the dollar. The American public has to understand we have primarily mercenaries in most of what we have in contract officers. When they say we have contractees, we have mercenaries. Many of our troops are very disgusted with that because I've got a soldier who makes $35,000, and next to him, I have the same man making a quarter of a million with no taxes whatsoever and no restrictions in terms of...
Yeah, he has immunity. Alex, I appreciate
Alex, what I'm saying to you is the timing had to do with Gates leaving, Panetta having been switched into the Secretary of Defense, although I suspect he didn't really want to be SecDef. He wanted to remain as DCI, Director of the CIA, and Petraeus is heading up the CIA, which is unusual for a general because he ran the Special Forces units and CENTCOM, and he ran much of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he knows the drones, and he knows the so-called...
Yeah. We've got to jump here.
So that's why he was moved.
Sure, and I agree with you. 10 o'clock at night, so the papers were already lined up to not question, to then have total control of the message the next morning, to control the entire week with the announcement, and the whole thing was scripted. Let's talk to Adrian. Oh, yeah. You agree, Dr. Pachenik?
I'm sorry?
No, I mean, you said something?
I'm sorry, did you say? No, I didn't say anything.
Adrian in Missouri, you're on the air.
Hi, Doctor. My question is, after all of this, this shenanigans is going on with Osama being dead and everything, and Obama trying to get reelected, after all of this is done, you know, after that announcement in 2012 that he has won the presidency again or whatever, how do you think America is going to react? You know what I'm saying? Like, what his approval rating is going to be? And if they stoop so low again, how will he try to get America back on board?
That's an excellent question, Adrian. I really think about it, and I don't know the answer, but this is what I would speculate. Our unemployment is still remaining high. We have had capital investments, but we're not doing it into major projects like railroads, which we need, bridges that have to be reconstructed, houses that have to go. We need to get that unemployment, 10 to 19 million people back on the job. He will get reelected, and he will probably do whatever he needs to do, which is an agenda that is not clear at this point. But he will continue to push through Obamacare, which will be a disaster for our health program. Unemployment will probably remain high. And he will keep the military positioned in the areas where we don't need it, and basically our capital cronyism will continue. But I warn of two things. The food prices and gas prices will continue to rise. Food prices have risen 35% because we decreased the value of the dollar. The commodity prices went up. But, Adrian, it's an excellent question. The sheep does not change his color. I mean, basically, he's going to be what he's always been. He's going to accommodate to the moment and to the interests of the people for whom he works, which is not the United States of America. The banking, primarily in Wall Street and the transnational corporation. But it's an excellent question. I can't really further detail things out other than the fact that we're headed for more and more economic crisis.
All
if
right.
we default on our debt, we are in major, major problems.
And that's already basically happening with the monetization. They're just not doing it in one big bang. They're slowly killing it. But Geithner wanted to raise the debt ceiling. Now Treasury is announcing that they are maybe going to keep it under. Here's the headline. Treasury to take steps to stay below debt ceiling. That's what Standard & Poor's said. They said it's the increased spending. Raising the debt ceiling is why we have a negative outlook on you keeping AAA, and then he came out 2 weeks ago and said that if we didn't raise it, that would cause the default, but now they're shifting gears saying, okay, they may have to cut. Are they starting to get some reality, Dr. Pachenik?
No, not really. What they're doing is playing with money. Remember, every currency is denominated still in the dollar system, and as long as the dollar system is there, the Federal Reserve will control it. Bretton Woods, right after World War II in New Hampshire, a lot of smart men made sure that everything around the world was denominated in dollars. Where we're going to have the major problem and crisis is that we will have an inflationary spiral that they cannot control, and so that's why gold keeps going up out of fear. Yeah, in and of itself, gold has no value other than historical value, aesthetic value, whatever. But the bottom line is, economically, we're not in a position unless we keep manufacturing. One of the great things about the state of Texas is that you really are very independent in many ways in terms of resources, manufacturing, and oil. We have enough oil in the United States to start drilling here. Gas, oil, everywhere from Montana down to Texas, Oklahoma.
But the cronies want to keep it shut down so they can make more money on their foreign investments, another form of artificial scarcity. Dr. Pachenik, I want to put bookends on this. historic, now almost two-hour interview. We're going to go into super overdrive commercial-free after this one-minute break. Let's just do 10 minutes together because I have to go do some media interviews. Then I want to try to call you later today if you're available so we can have a private discussion about some future things to move to get the public to wake up to what's happening. Just amazing information. But please let me twist your arm for 10 more minutes on the other side so I can promise to get to Bill, Pat, Trevor, and a few others. We'll be right back in super commercial-free overdrive only at InfoWars.com on the streams.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, we're now entering hour number five today, and we're entering hour number three in our interview with Dr. Steve Pachenik, stevepachenik.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com, and I didn't give the number out at the end of the official radio broadcast. We're now internet-only, video at prisonplanet.tv. And, of course, we are also audio streams at InfoWars.com and prisonplanet.com. We'll be back tomorrow live as well. But I did privately give our number here at our studio to some of the callers that were holding in the last hour so they can get involved on air. If a few others want to try to get lined up, it's 877-789-2539. But we've only got time for a few calls here. But Dr. Pachenik, you're letting it all hang out today. And we've talked, you know, privately during the breaks. It's
more to come, believe me. This is just the beginning. There's a lot that's happened. It's compounded. But as you and I said, there is a very self-destructive element in these leaders that we've elected. And that is, and Alex and I just talked about in the private session, as people who are basically liars and contrivers and deceivers and deceptors, what happens is, like any bank robber, they eventually get to the point where John Dillinger was caught. They want to get caught. And they get a certain thrill out of the notion that the more crises they create and the more deceptions they create, that really is a turn-on for them, and it allows them to exert the power and manipulation, deception that they're trained in. They're not trained for honesty. They're not trained to implement. They're not trained to be direct. They're not trained to accomplish or create assets. They're trained to deceive, manipulate, and lie. That's the nature of most politicians because basically they're mendicants. They're asking you up front, please vote for me. Why? Well, I'm a nice guy and I'll do whatever you want. Well, if I give you the money, what are you then? Well, I'm nothing more than a prostitute. Well, that's basically what happens. They're either panderers or they become prostitutes, but you don't expect them to affect your lives in a way where you're going to be submissive to them. So what I said to Alex, and Alex agreed, and he said the point to me that through history, what happens to the mendicants who are elected and the sociopaths who come to power is eventually they self-destruct. But the important thing in this self-destruction is that we do not go with them. And under George Bush, we began the self-destruction of the United States. And unfortunately, we're continuing that under Obama. And that has to stop. And that's why I came back on to the Alex Jones Show and said, listen, this is an honest man who's done an incredible job, Alex. And basically, people who've listened, who are smart, who work hard in this country, and I've said it again, we are in a self-destructive spiral that began 20 years ago, decades ago, with liars, deceivers, and manipulators who have destroyed the integrity and viability of our country and have been reinforced by the laziness and incompetency of dysfunctional people, both in the government and in Congress. Do not think that they're any better or they will become braver or more effective. Now the power has to come back to the United States of America, to we, the people, where the individual is supreme.
Absolutely. And Doc, you're showing a lot of courage because clearly you can see it's degenerating. Yeah. It's degenerating faster and faster. We've got to get real or we're not going to be able to fix these problems.
I'm not showing any courage. Let me be frank with you, Alex. I fought for this country, and I've been in 8 different combat situations where my life was at risk. I don't have a problem affording myself the next opportunity to be on your show, and if it takes the 9th time that they want to take me out, that's fine. But the issue is I'm not any more courageous than an American who has to go to work, has to take 2 jobs, has to support his family, has to pay food prices that are 30% higher, Medicare that's unbelievably not reflective of the times, where doctors have to be on call 24/7, or your father has to be a dental surgeon and has no backup and no guarantee that he will make a living. This is not the American way. All I'm trying to say to America, I'm not a hero. I'm just another American who happened to have the opportunity to serve five presidents. I left. I didn't ask for a pension.
Now, I understand, but you're engaging in common sense and dealing with a problem. But
That's all I am. It doesn't matter what my degree is, but I am disgusted beyond belief to tell you this cannot continue. The deception and lies of just another president with another Congress and another White House creating this nonsensical psychological operation, treating us as if we were children, stupid. And the media, as if they were stupid and children, and creating this ridiculous circus of nationalism, patriotism, when in fact they're cowardly, they're deceptive, they're ineffectual, and they're dysfunctional. That's not acceptable. That's sick.
In closing, before we take two final calls, Doctor, and this has been amazing, before we go any further, just going back to the basic criminology, the psychology, doesn't take a rocket scientist for me to see the serial killers. They start getting wilder and wilder, wanting to be caught, or they send letters to the police taunting them. And really, I think that's what this is with these ridiculous lies where...
Well, it's of course. I mean, they want to be caught. But I will leave with two really comments I once said on your radio show, and I don't mean to be very arrogant about this. I said the voice of the people is the voice of God. Let us hear the voice of your people and the American people. Let us say again, it's enough. We don't want any more. It's basically Opus Deus, Vox Populis, Vox Deus. The voice of the people is voice of God. We fought a revolution against Britain. Now let us fight a revolution against the tyranny of what we see as suppression, deception, crony capitalism. It doesn't have to be violent. It does have to be effective. And I have no greater faith than in the American people than I have in any other country. Only in this country can I serve a president and also disagree with the president. And remember that.
Well, beautifully said. Beautifully said. But I see the sickness of the modern Neros with their megalomania through the media, pushing their false realities, infecting my fellow Americans. They're trying to sell us on their delusional sickness. It's like, I'm sure you saw this, Doctor, the Karl Rove quote to the New York Times reporter where they said, you're lying about WMDs, you're setting up a police state. And he said, you are what we call the reality-based community trying to look for facts. But we're an empire now. We control reality, even if it isn't what we say it is. And he was almost trying to break their will and just say, like O'Brien torturing Winston in 1984, I don't want you to say 2 + 2 = 5. I want you to say and believe it's whatever I tell you. Freedom is not having a mind. Freedom is being a slave. And so there's
remember what Thomas Jefferson said very clearly. Every generation must fight to have its own freedom. If we do not do this now, we will never do it again. Trust me. Karl Rove is nothing but a secondhand sycophant criminal. He is a disgusting individual. There's no reason why he should have come back. He's one of those war crimes. But that's not the issue. The issue is for the American public to come out again and do what they do, whether it's Twitter, Internet, and talk among themselves. And
well, we're going to have you back. We're going to have you back, Doctor, very soon to talk about your research in this.
Thank you, audience, enough. You've been wonderful, and I thank you for the opportunity to express my ideas.
You bet. We're going to cram in two final calls, and we're done, or three. Bill in Connecticut. Quickly, you're on the air with Dr. Pachenik. Thank you.
Yes. Wow. What a show, Alex. Dr. Pachenik.
Yes, sir.
From two sources, from a gentleman by the name of John Perkins, wrote a book, Confessions of an Economic Assassin. And Lindsay Williams, both were on the Alex Jones Show, had indicated that back in the early 70s, Kissinger went over to the Saudis and made a deal whereby we would buy their oil if they bought our debt. And with the interest on that debt, we would build their infrastructure and their oil refineries. Flash forward to the present, now we're in a position whereby supposedly the elites want to implode and devalue the dollar in order to bring either a one-world currency or the Amero, starting with that. And I'd like your take on that. And then the follow-up question is, on the banks, what can we do to prosecute these criminals and bring them
all right, we're almost out of time. Great question.
Well, the banks is the most important one. That has to be demanded that the criminals be prosecuted. There's no question about it. And then you can withdraw money from the banks. They're the major ones. Bank of America, Citibank, you've got J.P. Morgan. The issue of Kissinger, I don't approve of him. I didn't work directly for him. I worked for Eagleburger, but you're correct in what he said. In terms of the money, I go back to the Bretton Woods Conference in the late 40s, right after the war, where all the currencies were denominated in the dollar. It would be very, very hard. It costs trillions of dollars to break that currency and to create other currency. The yuan will not be possible. The Russians tried it. The Arabs tried it. It's not going to work. Everything's denominated in the dollar. No matter how you look at it, as long as the dollar is there, it will be controlled by the Federal Reserve. It will be a currency to remain there for several years. The reason the dollar is going down now, quite frankly, is really because we're in an economic war, which is an effective war against right now China because we want to export our products, and we're doing quite well at that. But the real reason is it's very hard to get a one state or one currency element other than the dollar. It's just very difficult.
All right, final caller. This is amazing. Trevor in Nevada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah. I just had a question. Well, first of all, good show, great show. I just had a question. If they're not producing a body, then is that going to expand into, like, the courts now that they don't have to produce any body or anything to convict anybody or any DNA evidence?
I really don't know that. I mean, when you have a lie and you distort the lie and you make it into a circus, I don't know who's attending the circus and who's going to prosecute it. But honestly, with all due respect, this is such a travesty of reality that I don't even know how they're going to do anything and why they should do it.
Well, Dr. Pachenik, and then we'll get another question from Trevor. Hold on a second, Trevor. I want to get this in now before I forget. Sure. How about every news channel? This proves torture is good. Torture is wonderful. This proves extrajudicial killing is good. This proves rendition is good. This proves it. I mean, it's like saying it proves the moon is made out of cheese. It's just sick.
And first of all, rendition created by Clinton was a disaster, and it was unconstitutional. Torture does not work. If you have to do torture, it's disgusting. It's unethical. It really doesn't work. I've never had to use it, and I've had more than enough terrorists reveal what I needed to have without any torture. Thirdly, this is beyond the pale. Again, you have distortion, denial, deception, and the denigration of the American public and its intelligence. And it can't continue.
All right, Trevor, your final point, and then we're going to end it.
The final point is we've had enough. Let's ask for a new way of government, a new government,
sure,
and new people to run it.
Trevor, you had one more point.
American people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I first heard it, it was a mass hysteria, and I told my girlfriend the exact same thing. This is just going to justify war and torture and more war and more torture. And I'm already seeing it on Twitter and Facebook with people saying, if it wasn't for information from Guantanamo Bay, none of this would have happened, or rah, rah, rah. I don't know, but that's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity.
The information Guantanamo wasn't effective. A lot of them shouldn't be there. A lot of them were not even criminals. The whole thing is a farce. This war against terrorism is a total farce because it starts with a farce of 9/11. It starts with a body that never existed, Osama bin Laden. So you have one endless deception. So let's get back to the real issue. We need new people, new America, which stands up for itself, and a new government without any of this nonsense.
That's right.
Deception and denial. We've had enough.
The system's trying to give us their collective insanity so we can live in la-la land with
correct
them. It's time to break the spell, break the trance. Dr. Pachenik, I'll say bye to you here at the end off air. Thank you so much. God bless you. StevePachenik.com. Amazing. Folks, get this interview out to everybody. We go into retransmission right now. Great job, crew. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m.